It used to be on the mountains, glistening clean, sweeping over rocks, blue and sheen. It gave to the wild, said, come drink here, and supplied many, growing life and attracting deer. But when the soil got dry and the hot season drew near, it was difficult for everyone to see so clear. The water supply was running low, yet they still adhered. Water usage was abused, people didn't care. They were concerned with other things like their impression and wear. Faucets left running, plants unwatered and outsunning, people emptying water before recycling. How stunning. What happened to the world we once knew so dearly? The earth is not what it was as nearly, for we have misused and mistreated so freely. The earth is loving, give it its care. If we abuse the earth, that isn't fair. Recycle your water, collect your trash. That's all there is to it. It's as simple as that. So let's start today. How about that? Make the earth beautiful and wonderful, just it was in the past. Make it available, not an awful loss, and work towards a new beginning, where water is everywhere and not lost.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ledesma. I'd like to call on Troop 4414 to present the colors.
Color guard, honor your flag. Please place your right hand over your heart and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Color guard dismissed.
Okay, thank you very much, Troop 4414. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez.
Here.
Mr. Flowers.
Here.
Mr. Monarch. Mrs. Polis.
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Here.
Ms. Sosa.
Here.
Ms. Bentham.
Here.
Mr. Gutierrez.
Here.
Dr. Jimenez.
Here.
Okay, I have nothing to report out of closed session. There is no action taken in closed session. So we will move on to the presentation section of our agenda, and I'd like to call on Troop 4414. They have a special presentation for us, and their leader is Leader Debbie. If I can call you to the podium for the presentation. Thank you. As she's approaching, Leader Debbie has been a Girl Scout leader within West Covina for 9 years now, I think.
11.
She has two daughters. She has an older troop, and then this is her younger troop. And she's been with them since they were daisies.
Wow.
So.
Yes. And actually, my other daughter since she was daisy. So
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 11 years. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for letting us attend today. And today, we would like to thank board members and school officials for supporting our troop and our Silver Award project. These girls put on an environmental expo where they talked about pollution, water conservation, recycling, reusing, and endangered animals and plants because of the drought, which right now we're not in a drought, but they would like to give a special thanks to members. So Jennifer would like to present to who, please?
Mr. Daniel Goomerang,
and he's with what, West Covina High School?
Yeah,
the assistant principal. We appreciate your help.
Leader Debbie, can you tell us what you're presenting them with?
We're presenting with a certificate of appreciation for your support and also with a box of Thanks a Lot cookies.
Oh, awesome.
We don't offer them in this area, but I went out and got them special for you guys. So
yes.
You're
we don't
welcome.
Sell them in LA County.
And then Vanessa?
Nice.
Dr. Charles Hinman. Thank you.
I'm so old.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to stand behind you. Is that okay?
Oh, perfect. Casey? Katarina Garcia from West Covina. She's with our Go Green Club. Thank you.
And Dr. Stephen Glass.
And Dr. Stephen Glass. Thank you so much. And another one we have, Reese.
Oh.
So the reason why we're giving thanks is because Eileen had asked for help and with getting the word out there to help our event be bigger and stronger. And we really appreciate you putting it on the website, all the schools, and helping with the Go Green information and how to do a e-waste, which we didn't know how to do that. So we really appreciate it. And yeah, there's a picture of the whole troop. Not everybody was here, but the event, all in all, was very successful. The girls had to do more than 50 hours worth of planning and research and everything. They had to do everything themselves. We were not allowed to help them. And this is the highest award, the Silver Award, that the Girl Scouts can receive as a cadet. And with that, going on to seniors and ambassador Girl Scout levels, they can earn their Gold Award, which I hope all my girls will achieve. So thank you for having us, and thank you. Harley, get in there. Come on.
Share the cookies.
So I just want to share just really quick something that very rarely happens in our business, because what you have up here are public servants, and it is our job to work with the public and thank the public and encourage the public. It goes to our constituents, goes to our employees, and we're always recognizing students. We're always having students come in for their, whether they win the championship, whether they had a fantastic drama or play. Almost never does a group of students come and thank us. And not that they should, it's just above and beyond. I just wanted to point it out that it's very rare, and I'm just very proud of you guys to having that foresight to not, you know, always be thinking to giving back, which is just really nice. And I really, really appreciate it. I was being a little facetious about one of my name calls, but I wanted to take you so bad. But I really am appreciative, and this will go up in my office. So thank
Wonderful.
You, thank you very
thank
much.
You. Yay, thank you.
Thank you, Troop 4414, for your gratitude tonight. We appreciate that. The school district was happy to partner. And thank you, West Covina High School, for assisting the Girl Scouts with their environmental expo. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to the hearing session of our board meeting. I left them on the printer. Okay, I have a few things to report. The West Covina beautiful City of West Covina birthday was excellent, and I want to thank Dr. Hinman and Dr. Coglin, and we had West Covina High School represented. They did a great job. We also had a sophomore, Natalie, from West Covina High School, who sang the national anthem for us. So it's always exciting when we see our students participate in what the city is doing, as well as to see the support of our leadership here with what the city is doing. So thank you. I appreciate that. In addition, as I had let you know, I sit on the Mount SAC Bond Committee meeting. They are having a series of informationals throughout their service area, their territory, their trustee territory. And the West Covina service, the West Covina meeting is tonight, as we speak, from 6:30 to 8:30. So they didn't connect with the leadership all here in West Covina to figure out that Tuesdays are not good because it's either a city council or a board meeting. So I spoke to Dr. Hinman, and we're going to take a look at maybe having a fall date where we can invite Mount SAC, because what they're looking for is to get information about how best to serve their students. So they have a survey that they want to share, and in addition, they want to let the community know what they offer. So we're talking about a possibility of opening our doors to them in the fall. So we'll keep you all posted on that. But I will have Ms. Kelly, I'll send to Dr. Hinman and Ms. Kelly the flyer so that you all can see the remaining dates if you'd like to go and give your input while they're doing their road show right now. It's between now and March 16th, and they're on their road show. And that's really important. Doesn't necessarily mean that you support the bond or don't. It's they want to make sure that they're servicing the community and they're staying on top of the pulse of what the community needs. And then, you know, if it means that facilities need to be built or things like that, then they want to plan for that. In addition to that, I'm very grateful to Dr. Hinman. Region 23, as you know, every year does an education summit. We don't have a date yet, but tentatively, let me give you two dates. We are looking for Region 23 Education Summit, potentially April 22nd, which is a Saturday, or May the 6th. And it'll depend on the keynote speaker. We're going to be looking at school-to-work transition. So we'll be taking on that topic again. And this time we are not opening it to parents or students. It is purely going to be for board members and administrators. And I'm very happy to say that Dr. Hinman agreed and West Covina will be hosting the site, the meeting. So that's going to be very, very exciting for us. Bassett stepped up and is hosting. I believe you all got an email from CSBA, but they're going on a road show also. And they will be at Bassett High School, I believe it's next week. I don't have it here in my meeting. I believe they sent it to us, but I'll send it to Monica. I mean, it's Bassett Unified. Bassett stepped up. So then at the meeting when they said, who can then host the Education Summit? Well, you know, it was our turn. I had to. But thank you. You're right. It's at Torch Middle School. So it's really important that CSBA hears from us as board members about what is important for the organization to advocate for. And so they're looking at really pushing the advocacy as an organization because they feel it's very underutilized. We're all elected representatives, and they would like to be able to call us into action when there's important items. So they are working really, really hard. Their board has charged the staff with building the advocacy of the network. So that'll be a chance for them to hear from us what we need from them and what we envision for CSBA moving forward as well. So those are my updates. My colleagues, Ms. Pullos, do you have an update? Mr. Flowers.
I only have one thing to say. The West Covina Beautiful was a very nice evening and event. And on that occasion, they had a little drawing. And so.
Oh, yes.
And me and one of my buddies in here, we went in together and we won the 50-50 lotto, whatever they call it. And it was a nice little sum, so we split. I'm sorry. Some of you guys
just
got up
the
and.
Record, I bought 15 tickets. You bought one. So something wrong with that picture. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm sorry. Oh, I ain't going to put him on the spot, but he's one of somebody else in here wanted with me, so, you know, and I brought them that money today. So that was a great evening. So, next time I'm in an event and they do it again, I said, the two of us, we're going to have to go in together. We're going to take a road trip to Las Vegas. But that's it for me. Thank you so much.
Okay. Ms. Shemeika, do you have an update? Okay. So we will go ahead and move on to item 8, items from the floor, public comment. I have no blue cards in front of me. Oh, I apologize. I just went over an entire section of the meeting. I'm so excited about our buildings that we're going to be talking about, so I'm just trying to get to them. I apologize. Ms. Sosa, do you have a report for us?
Good evening, board members, district employees, and community members. At Coronado, we're working on some great events this coming month. To start, the American Red Cross Boat Drive is scheduled March 8th. And we are also starting the Pennies for Patients drive for March 6th to the 24th. Our softball season is wrapping up, and we can't wait for soccer season to start. Lastly, we had our monthly assembly for February, and we recognized James Hernandez as Student of the Month, and the leadership also recognized Joseph Limas as being the winner of the Great Kindness Challenge. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Sosa. I will move on to Ms. Beltran.
Good evening, board members, Madam President, Dr. Hinman, and community members. So last Friday, we had our spring sports rally, and we were able to bring our campus together and really keep the momentum of the year going. Thank you to Mrs. Miranda Jimenez for attending. And our hip-hop attended their first California Association of Dance Drill Teams competition on Saturday, and they brought home first place, so we're proud of them. And then we're also celebrating Kelly Gal for placing fifth at the United Spirit Association Dance Competition for her solo performance and qualifying for nationals. And at another comp this past weekend, Kelly placed first on her solo, and Cassidy Lamb placed third. And our science club competed in the LA Surf Bowl this past weekend, and they did a fantastic job, so we're proud of them. And our girls soccer team had an amazing season. They fought hard. They got past the first round of CIF, but in the second round they lost. But they have made history at WCHS with the first undefeated girls soccer league champs, so we're proud of them. And Dr. Seuss Day is coming up this weekend, and it begins at 9 a.m., and it's open to all the community's younger children. And there's going to be crafts, story time, and much more, and it's just a way to spread literacy in a fun way. And also today we got the great news that our school is a California Association of Student Leaders Outstanding Leadership Program Award, so we received that award today. And so we're really excited because we get to receive it at the conference in San Jose. So we'll hear more from that later. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. I'm sorry, Ms. Beltran, did you say for the hip-hop for the boys and the girls, they both won first place?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Awesome. Because this is the first year for our girls. So that's pretty darn amazing.
Their first competition, so they're still getting into it. But
out the gate that they get first place. That's awesome. Good job. Mr. Gutierrez.
Good evening, board members, Superintendent Hinman, cabinet members, and community. Epic's play, Encountering Shakespeare, came to an end. They performed on Monday to San Jose Charter. So it was, I think, any board member that went to go see it was such an amazing play. The students did a wonderful job. And sadly, it's over, and the seniors that are graduating this year are no longer going to be there. And on another note, we hosted the 8th grade visitation on Friday. We hope that the students from all the middle schools like what Edgewood has to offer, and hopefully they are part of the incoming class of 2021. Also, our open house will be on Wednesday, March 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. I invite the board and Dr. Hinman to come and attend our open house. Also, we'll be having mock exams for the IB exams. So this is to prepare us for the actual IB exams coming up in May, and also to help us study for what we need to learn. And lastly, a senior named Sabrina Keeter, she won outstanding interpretation of her literature piece during the PTA reflections at the council, district, and state level. Her literature piece has been forwarded to the national level as part of the competition. She competed against 18 other school districts in LA County and thousands of students across the state. So we are proud of her achievements and hope to hear great things from her soon.
Thank you. Thank you, students. It's exciting to hear all the great things that are going on in all of our schools. Thank you very much. For those of you who need to leave, that is fine. Thank you. Okay, I will turn this over now to the superintendent's report, Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, Madam President. I know that staff and I had a discussion that we are so excited about hearing Dr. Coven's presentation that we are not going to be sharing this evening. So I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, thank you. Nice and quick. Okay, so we will go ahead and move on to the items from the floor. As I stated a little earlier, I still have no blue cards. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to the business session of our meeting. Is there anything that anybody would like to remove from consent? Okay. I don't think we have anything to add. Oh, yes, we do. Is there anything would you like to add to consent?
B3 and B4.
Okay. B3 and B4. we're going to keep with getting out of here at 8:30, right? That's the goal, right? Right. I told you I would try to, we'll try to work on that. Okay, so it has been asked that we add B3 and B4 to consent. Is there anybody who would like to move that?
I move.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. It has been moved by Michael Flowers and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker to approve the agenda and to add to consent B3 and B4, the items for the regular meeting of February 28th, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, it carries 4-0. Okay, that then takes us to the exciting. Students, we're happy to have you if you want to see what we're doing, and we value your input. But we are going to be going over the plans for the schools with the bond money. But if you have homework, we understand. So we are going to move on to the D5 information report, PBK Architects. I turn it over to Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, Madam President.
What I'd like to share with the board before I turn it over to Dr. Coghlan, is just a couple thoughts. I pinch myself when I think a little over a year ago we were beginning the discussion of whether or not to do a bond in West Covina and what your constituents would think about that. Would they support that? And now a little over a year later, we're sitting at our first look at our proposed master plan. It's very exciting. I will tell you, I believe that what's in this plan will really separate West Covina from our surrounding school districts. It's just some phenomenal work that's been done. The only council I would... What's that?
You mean separate us even more.
Even more, Kurt. Thank you. Let me also just say, as you go through this, let's keep you one thing in mind. There's an old adage that I always like to refer to. School boards can do anything they want. They just can't do everything. So we've put a lot of time in delineating the school sites, and based on your guidance, what we think is going to be in the best interest. So tonight we're not voting on anything. We're not asking for approval. We're really just looking at the proposed plan. Based on your responses, we'll come back at a later date for an approval to the plan. But I want to be really clear on this. Even if you approve a plan, we would still come back on every project for each school for, again, approval. So nothing that you do in those first two processes is inked in stone. We will always come back, whether it be phase 1, phase 2. But before I get ahead of myself and steal Dr. Coghlan's thunder, as I usually do, let me turn it over to Dr. Coghlan and his team. And would you introduce your team too, please?
Thank you, Dr. Hinman, President Miranda Jimenez, board members, Dr. Hinman, staff. Thank you for being here tonight. We're here to present our proposed facilities master plan. As Dr. Hinman said, it was a year ago we kind of started this process. I was thinking there, if this process was a Broadway show tune, it would be Do, Re, Mi. Want to let you know where we are in the song. Do was a year ago when we were trying to figure out, do we go out for a bond? That would be the do. The re would be, we pass the bond. Hooray, we pass the bond. We're now on the me phase of the song, which is me, you have to listen to me. So we're going to be talking tonight about our proposed plan here tonight. You with me? We didn't practice
with
that,
you.
Did we?
No.
We did not rehearse that. So we will be taking several breaks during this presentation. So here tonight with me, joining me, behind me, and I'll be doing most of speaking, but Marco Ikret from PBK, he's the architect who we employed to help us put this plan together. Joe Dixon, who you've seen here before, our consultant, and David Larkin. All four of us worked together as we put this plan, and as Dr. Hinman said, it is a proposed plan, and we're here to share it with you tonight. Just a little bit, I'm just going to have Marco just come up very quickly, tell you a little bit about his company, and then I will take back the microphone. So Marco, you want to know about PBK?
Thank you, Dr. Coghlan. Sure. Real quick, Madam President, members of the board, members of the cabinet, members of the public, really do appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight to talk about exciting things going on in your district. Definitely want to be brief here. PBK is a firm that's been around for over 30 years. It focuses on educational, primarily K-12 schools throughout the country. Here in California, I grew up here in California. Actually, I lived in West Covina for a couple years.
Oh.
I was going to Cal Poly Pomona. Grew up in Corona, actually. California native, and just so happy to be here today to assist you in this process.
So as we go through the presentation, which you have in front of you, you can follow in the book, and that book is yours, or you could follow up here if there are questions about why are we putting that project there or what does it look like, the architect will be available for that. As you recall, the community said, yes, we approve a bond, $143 million. So this plan, what this plan represents is our commitment to the community to honor what we said we would do with the bond dollars, and that's what we'll be presenting here. It's a combination of modernized projects, modernization, and also some new projects. As you know, we don't receive the $143 million all at once. It comes in phases. And so we are looking at three issuances, the first one being in 2017 for $75 million. The next issuance would not be until 2023. It would be a smaller issuance, be $25 million. As you see there, it is possible that we could accelerate that with what's referred to as a bond anticipation note and accelerate that up to 2020. And then bond issue C would be in 2032. We could also accelerate that with what we call a BAN, bond anticipation note, or depending on the assessed values in the community, could bring the money in faster. This is preliminary. We've worked with our financial advisor, Tim Carty from Piper Jaffray, who says this is kind of how it will look. When it comes time to actually go out and sell the bonds, he will be here to present a much more detailed about the finances. But this is the preliminary, how the money will come in. Once we know how the money's coming in, we can start to phase these projects. And we've already spoken to you about some of them when we're talking about the field at Edgewood, the solar panels, when we talk about the playgrounds. Those projects are what we're putting in phase zero. We'll be going through the different school sites, and you'll see them. Phase one would start in September 2017. And when we say start September 2017, that doesn't mean you're going to start seeing dirt flying. Remember, it's a process. There's a planning process that takes place here. So from start to finish, could be two, could be 3 years. And then phase two and phase three. Keep in mind, when we put this funding and this schedule together, we did not include the potential of some state matching funds. Remember, the bond of the state passed Proposition 51, where there are some matching funds available. We do have some eligibility. We're getting in line for that money, but we want to be conservative as we plan and not count on that money. But we know we're eligible for about $11 million in a combination of modernization funds and new construction. So as that money comes in, we can look at different projects and maybe accelerating. Also, we have not put in potential partnerships we may have. Dr. Hemman and I met with some representatives from the city. As you know, they are interested in partnering on some of our projects, so we will be exploring that still. Any kind of partnership that would come in could bring some more possible funds to the district, which would speed up some other projects. As I go through these projects next year, we're going to go school by school before I get to it. Let's talk about this. $143 million. About half of the funds are going to go towards modernization. Remember, our schools were built in the 50s and 60s, and there's things that we need to do to modernize them. As we talk in this presentation about modernization, these are the things that will take place when a school is modernized. All of our schools, at some point or another, with these bond dollars, will be modernized. What does that include? We're going to modernize our restrooms, make sure that we bring them up so that all of these things are ADA compliant. We have to make sure, once you start going into a school, that if you touch things, new regulations that come in, you have to make sure we're ADA compliant. The infrastructure, the water piping, classroom enhancements. Classroom enhancements mean everything from the top to the bottom. Lighting, ceiling, painting, carpeting. Those types of enhancements would take place. Air conditioning and heating system. At some schools, it's a much more extensive project, like at Hollencrest. At other schools, we know that over the next 15, 20 years, we're going to have to replace the air conditioning systems just as you would at your house. So when a school is modernized, we bring in those new condensers and units. Security enhancements when needed. Some schools, as all of these, will need more security enhancements than others. That can be everything from fencing to cabling for cameras, replacing modular classrooms. We know we have classrooms, modular classrooms that are nearing the end of their lifespan, that they will need to be replaced. So bond dollars for modernization can be used to replace those, either with new modular classrooms or with permanent classrooms. Another thing that's a wild card that's out there is, in the event, it's not going to happen, but in the event the enrollment in the district were to change, we will then look at our needs and say, do we need as many classrooms or do we need more? So we want to keep an eye on our modulars. 1 to 6 will happen at all of our schools based on the needs at those schools at the various times over the next 15 years. Upgrading the science labs, that was our commitment at the secondary schools to bring them up, all of the science labs, to enhance them. So when we go through, modernization takes place, science labs get upgraded. What we're going to do now is, this is school by school, and I will spend a little more time on this first one, and then we'll go through the other elementary schools. We really kind of want to get to the secondary schools where there's some unique projects going on. The elementaries are typically very similar. I just want to highlight some things on here.
Okay, before you go school by school, colleagues, do you have any question on this page? Because then he's going to go school by school, which will take us to a whole different ballgame. So are there? Well, no, on this, on the sheet that he just covered.
On the modernization.
On the modernization. Okay, so I know that Ann had told us, I have a question then. I know that Ann had told us that we should have a minimum standard for the schools so that we can look to our constituents, we can look to our community and say, yes, some schools are going to get more than others because we're trying to bring schools to a minimum standard. So I understand that this is what we're doing for every school, but then do we also have, because our schools are different, do we have a minimum standard for the elementary? Every elementary is going to get X, and we're going to bring you to this standard. Do we have a minimum standard for the middle schools? Because we have 2, and then Edgewood is attached, obviously, to the high school, and then a minimum standard for the high school. Do we have that distinction?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we look at the modernization, a modernization of, you know, we're going to do the piping, we're going to do the roofing, we're going to do the AC, that is something that will be done at all the schools. When we look at playgrounds at the elementary school, that has been decided. Again, at the elementary schools, I guess as Dr. Hinman started with this, you can do anything you want, but you can't do everything. So I guess the question would be, what is it that, you know, if you were looking to say at California school, we would like to put a swimming pool in, and we think every elementary school should have one. So I think we would need to look at those types of projects.
So I would translate that into saying that items 1 through 6 on page 5 is your minimum standard.
Okay. So we can look to the community and say every elementary is going to get their security enhanced. Every elementary is going to get their bathroom redone. So that we have those talking points as we're talking to the community.
Again, based on need, if somewhere between now and the time the need assessment is done, that the district or the school site took it upon themselves to upgrade their security system, then we wouldn't come in and redo their security system. But everything on this list will be assessed at each school, and this would be the minimum.
Okay, good. Thank you. That was a good talking points that Ann gave us, and we need to use that with the community. So, Ms. Poulos.
We are going to have an idea what's going to happen at every single school before we modernize it.
Yes.
And when will we have that discussion?
That is a discussion that staff is developing. There are a lot of moving parts, and I don't think that's one that I personally am ready to have publicly, because we're not. I don't want to make comments that might be misinterpreted.
Misrepresented.
Thank you. And we start talking about school sizes and feeder patterns and whatnot. But that is something we are looking at. But the answer to your question is yes. We're not going to advocate spending multi-million dollars into a facility until we are very comfortable knowing what its future is.
my specifics tonight, because this is just, you're just giving us an overview, but I'd have some real questions about some of the things you're proposing.
Mm-hmm.
At some sites, from past conversations, and I want to make sure our dollars are properly used and that we want to know what's happening at those schools before we do any modernization.
Yeah, I would encourage you to ask those questions, and if it's something that we're not in a position to answer, we won't. But
what I'm hearing you say is that you're not prepared to talk about some of the things yet. Mm-hmm. So the next time this comes forward, is that when are we going to decide this is how we're going to move?
We will be coming back to you within a month to ask you for approval of this plan.
So this is the discussion component.
Correct.
This is where you want to hear from us.
Yeah, even if we don't have the answers, Trustee Paulus, I still would want to know the questions.
Right. So it's kind of like when Ms. Shoemaker asked us about coming back to us with numbers for the solar.
Mm-hmm.
So it then changed the discussion. So right. That you're looking for some input because it may change some of the placements, correct?
Yeah.
So then tonight's also, I'm understanding that tonight's is focused on those minimum standards as well. So we're really looking at that minimum standards and some suggestions to then give you time to research maybe some of the suggestions, correct? Okay.
I'd have some real questions about Rio Verde.
Yeah,
and
I
then possibly Walnut Grove, but those are for another.
No, that's tonight.
Okay. Please ask. Just because I may not feel comfortable answering the question because of confidentiality and internal conversations, doesn't mean that I don't need to know the questions. So I would actually appreciate those questions this evening.
So
hold on, excuse me, I'm sorry, yes. Dr. Coghlan, Mr. Flowers.
We're going to go back to things, right, to talk about the bond. Okay, I got later.
Okay, so from this point forward, we're now going to go school by school.
We're going to go school by school. And when we put this, when the four of us put this plan together, one of the things that I was concerned with is we want to make sure that what we're putting down is within the scope of the bond. And so when we don't have those dollars on here, but what we're proposing is within the scope of the bond. So.
And Dr. Coghlan, before you go on, I want to be redundant with the board, and I apologize. When you see the elementary schools, and this goes, Madam President, to your question, it may not look as bold as the middle school or the high schools, but we didn't put a highlighter on all of these six items on every school. If the whole mass would look colored. If we did, you would see that, in fact, all the schools are going to get a lot of attention. But that's why we conceptualize these into six or seven bullet points, and you'll see on every school at some point they will be getting this. So when you see the first slide, for example, phase one, school modernization, rather than listing all these every time, we're just asking you to refer back to this list knowing these are the things that are going to take place at California during phase one.
Right. So looking at California, I just kind of want to orient everybody up here. In the lower right-hand corner, and this will be on every slide, it says when the school was originally built and the last time it was modernized. It's important to know when the last time it was modernized because that kind of puts things in order as far as needs and the potential for some state eligibility funds. Then on the right, you see phase zero, phase one, phase two, phase three. That corresponds with the chart at the beginning that says we're recommending phase zero now. Phase one would be 2017 to 2020. Phase two would be 2023 or accelerated, and then phase three would be 2032 or accelerated. So when you see an NA, that means not applicable. As Dr. Hinman said, when you see school modernization, that's all of those points on that one page. So let's look at phase zero. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this slide, and then the other elementary schools will make a little bit more sense. When you see a box and it's gold and it has an A on it, that is the proposed, we've been talking about solar, where solar panels could go. And there, Mr. Larkin working with solar companies, and they look at the school site, say, this would probably be a good place to put it for various different reasons that we don't necessarily need to go into here, but there are reasons why these are there. It does not mean that's where they're going to go at the end of the day. And as Dr. Hinman said, should we go down that road, you will be informed about where they're going to to go. So you can see here for the solar panel, that would be a shade structure over there, and that would provide electricity for that school. B is replacement of the playground equipment, the rubberized play surface, and you can see that there's two playgrounds at that school. Some schools have three, some have four, some have one. It's based on the need at that school. When you see the front there, those little three blue lines, do you see those on the front of the school? Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can press this here. It won't show up on the... I'm just going to point this out. Just make sure everybody's right here. Right here, here, and here. And it just got darker. During phase one is when the modernization at the school site would take place. Also corresponding with that modernization is an enhanced curb appeal. When you look at our schools, they were built in the 50s. I kind of need a facelift. What would that facelift look like? It could be everything from, you know, different stones veneering on the front. It could be doing things with the fascia, different landscaping, kind of bringing them up to the 21st century, and that they don't look as if they were built 50 or 60 years ago. So you will see that on here. That would be the facelift at that school.
You're talking question. About removing the bricks?
A lot of times what they may do, if I've seen this in some shopping centers, is where they'll have this very old shopping center and they kind of build it out. They make it a little more 3D. It doesn't mean they have to take off the bricks, but they may put different facing on it. Again, any of these things that would be done, this is a very general idea. I wish I had some examples to show you what that would look like, and it may vary from school to school, but that's where the architect starts to get in and, you know, what could this really look like?
I don't see us ripping walls down. I see us putting facade over the walls.
Yeah, well, the only reason I'm asking is that if you draw past our schools that have the brick, they have aged very well compared to the schools that are more, I'm not even sure what kind, you know, the facade it's called, but they've aged. Mm-hmm. Holland Crest, for example, if you look at that, there's not as much brick and it's a different facade. What Willowood used to look like, it just didn't age as well. Where if you look at the brick buildings, at least, you know, you drive by and they still look nice. They might look, you know, like they're 50 years old, but they still look so much better. And if you go to Covina Valley, our bricks look much better than how their schools have weathered.
Right.
I don't want to take that away.
It could be landscaping, okay. You know, where you do leave the brick because the brick is beautiful, but the school sign could definitely be brought up to the 21st century and maybe a pine tree or just something. And again, as Dr. Coghlan said, we're not proposing what the vision would be. We're just suggesting that curb appeal is important, and we will work with architects and you to come up with those plans.
And we don't want to have to go to the public again for another bond, so we want to make sure it's something that's timeless, if at all possible.
You know, Ms. Polos, I hadn't thought about that, but that actually, to dovetail on what you're saying, to create a look of West Covina. And so that brick, you're right, to our older buildings, that is our look. So maybe a more modern take on some of our newer buildings, but keeping that look, because brick is timeless, and it's very East Coast Ivy League. So, you know, so that may fall in with the curriculum we're building. But thank you. I hadn't thought about a look of West Covina, that when you drive in, you know you're in West Covina with our schools. Those are our schools. So thank you.
So what I would like to do is proceed to the next school. You'll see the same type of legend. Hopefully I've explained this legend enough. So when we look at Cameron, and just take a look at that, and you can see where it falls in the phase, the solar panels and the playground surface. If there aren't any questions for Cameron, okay, so questions on Cameron.
Shoemaker has a question.
It's actually a question I have on a couple of them, mm-hmm. but this one specifically, where you have the shade structure back on Abington, mm-hmm. I'm concerned about having it there because that street is actually pretty busy. People coming in and out during the weekends for baseball, things like that. You have the main park, Cameron Park, next to it, plus you have, you know, the high school students moving in and out. And so I understand that there are going to be some restrictions on where we can place them, but even if that structure was just moved next to the building instead of on that side where the street is, where, you know, students can throw things, break them easier, and you have a lot of people going in and out there, it was just what caught my eye.
Sure. And again, as any kind of solar project that we would proceed, you know, we would come up with this final, and those are great discussions to have.
Yeah.
Well, and then going back to Cameron, it says it where the solar panel is, it's a lunch shelter. But where do the children eat now? I know they used to eat over sometimes on the grass.
No, this one's just a shade structure.
Oh, wait,
no,
Cameron?
No, I went back.
I went back to California.
And, like, here's the cafeteria or the multi-purpose room.
Currently, I believe they're eating lunch in this area right here.
Yeah.
They could use an area up there.
It just seems like that's a little, and I know that the children that go to California are a little bit older. You're not looking at kindergarten. You're looking through third and older. But they're... It just seems a little bit far if you're calling it a lunch shelter. Would it be used as that?
And again, on these...
And then what would be the passage there?
Right. If it is we're going to recommend a lunch shelter, it would have to be conducive to where the cafeteria is. So this is kind of just a conceptual idea. Some schools need lunch shelters more than others. Some already have them. And so this is a school, California, that is in need of a lunch shelter. Where that location would be might not necessarily be right there, but it would be in that close proximity.
And then when my son went there a long time ago, where those trees are,
Yes. They
would eat under those trees, and it was cool under there when it wasn't wet. Mm-hmm. So just to the...
On Bainbridge? Right there?
On the left.
Oh, okay.
Right. On Bainbridge, if I had that little...
Pointer.
Yes. They eat there a lot, but you can see that's in close proximity. They come right out of the cafeteria and they eat there, so they can eat. Yes, so they can eat either place. So I hope we're asking the people at the school what works, because I don't even see a way to get to that lunch shelter.
I think a catch-22 is we want to do both. Obviously, we want to put the solar at the best site that staff, and it would benefit staff and students, but the flip side is it also has to be at a place that's going to get the optimum sun.
I know, but if you moved it here, just moved it right behind the cafeteria, they'd still be able to get to it, and I don't see any difference in between the sun it would get.
Probably not, which is, again, thank you. We need to keep hearing that.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Okay, so for tonight, what do you actually want to hear from us? Because
feedback.
If you're saying that the solar panels are going to come back to us, is basically tonight you don't want to hear concerns about it because these aren't the actual places they're going, or is this the time where you actually want us, when it comes to the solar panels, to say, hey, as members of this community, I think it's a bad idea to have it on that street?
They want that detail from us because they may have to go back to the drawing board and take a look at where's a better location, based on what you just said.
But they're saying this isn't the final drawing board. So I have no problem waiting for when solar panels come back to just say, hey, you know.
I
have no problem waiting to ask questions about those. If this is just, are you guys okay with the overall that we're putting solar panels, we're replacing the playground, and then in phase two on Cameron, they're going to do the school modernization. Is that okay with you? I think that's more what you're looking for tonight than actual specific instruction about where to put.
So, Trustee Shoemaker, a little both. Again, I'm going to hedge because we don't want to come back with a redo just with solar panel to every school. So I guess what I'm saying is if we would mark and say concern or an issue at California, but you look at Merced and there's no comment that fits, that works great, then we would just leave that and then we would just focus on the other schools. So,
because for example, like Merced, I have the same concern because you're putting it directly on Merced, right by the fields, you know, Merced Major Street and West Covina, crosswalks right there. And so my concern is, you know, how will traffic going by, kids throwing things, and just access people have to that area affect you know, maintenance that we're going to have to do on those solar panels.
No.
I mean, especially since we have so many other places at Merced that it could go then right on the street.
Now, South Hills, there's on the street, am I correct?
No.
South Hills High School?
No,
there's
it's
right there
in the corner in the parking lot, but yes, it's not on the street, but it's accessible from the street.
Yes.
So
I think it would be similar to
that. Even that corner is
right.
Not as busy as Merced.
So what I'm hearing from the board is, I want to make sure that where we put the panels, and we understand that there's panels up here, where we put them is going to be the best location. Okay, so tonight's it's just some conceptual things. I can tell you that should the board decide we're going to go with solar panels, yes, there would be, we would come back and say this is where the panels are going to go. There are many variables on where panels go. One is the efficiency, the sun angle. The second thing is the relationship, how close is it to the power source? You know, you could put it in that back corner at Merced. It's going to cost you more to run the power from there to the power source of the building. Mm-hmm. There's the aesthetics. Do you put it right in front of the school? There's a lot of variables.
Well,
there's
like
the neighbors. There's the street. Sure.
I mean, their cafeteria is here. So if you just move it here, it can become a shade structure next to their other eating areas. Mm-hmm. And so you're not adding a huge cost because you're basically right there. But it's
right
back off the street then.
And one of the things is we're in the me stage of the Do Re Mi song. Proceeding with that, we would also talk with the school. We would share with the school, get their input from the school. We would not just show up that day and say this is where the solar panels go. We're gonna get as much input as we can and make that evaluation based on efficiency, location, the neighbors, the traffic. So to answer your question, we've heard there's a concern. This is a conceptual thing. Yes?
I just want to ask, it doesn't have anything about your drawing,
mm-hmm.
but there's, is the little school.
Which school are we on?
No, I'm back on, it's still on Cameron. On Dolly?
Yeah.
Is that building still utilized by someone besides us?
Is this the YASIS building, Dave?
Do they use that now for YASIS?
Yes,
so that would be ours. Okay.
Yes.
I just didn't know. I know that some of the schools, like the I think it was California. Some of the, there's a big place of ours that we let options use.
So
on California. So this, but that's
right
ours. Okay.
So I'd like to talk about, this one's a little unique. Again, we're proposing modernization in phase two for Merced. The solar panels, the playground. What's different here is one of the issues that's been at Merced is the staff parking lot. And there is an area there, we've looked at it before, to put additional staff parking in front of the school, similar to what they have at Monta Vista. That was one of the things we've heard from Merced, and that is something that could be very doable in phase zero. Yes.
Would that change how the children are dropped off, or are they still going to be dropped off on Merced? Or when we're looking at these things, are we looking also at the best way to get children to and from the school?
I would say any kind of drop-off, we would include the school on that as far as safety. We're mainly looking for, right now, staff has to park on the street. So we're mainly looking for staff parking, which they would park down in that new lot C. Question?
No, I was just saying, have you tried parking in front of Merced as a visitor?
No.
In that parking lot? Staff's parking there.
Right.
That's
absolutely. They're gonna park. So
you,
whether that parking lot would make sense to designate that as staff parking lot, and put some extra stalls in there. So we would work with the school on that.
Okay, I like the idea with this one about the shade structure over there by where the kids eat.
Now, with all of these shade structures, help me. Would the benches under them be bolted, or would they not, so that it then becomes a multi-purpose space? It can be moved out to have the career fair that maybe an elementary wants to do, or at the open house at the back to school night, that becomes an area that they can use.
If,
or are they bolted?
Again, anything could be done. If that was something that we wanted to look at, we could bolt
Because if we have a shade structure, then that gives us more versatility with whatever is close to a cafeteria. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on Merced? Okay.
Merlinda would be recommending modernization in phase two, solar panels in A, playground refurbishing, and also that space up there. They also have an issue with parking. So taking that area and making that a staff parking lot, thus freeing up spaces in the front for visitors as they come on the campus.
If there was a safer way to drop off your child in the morning there, I'd really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a zoo. From personal experience,
yeah,
as one of the animals, I guess.
And it's a bit, and it's a big intersection and our largest elementary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can...
Move to Monta Vista. We moved to Monta Vista, put the solar panels there in the front over that one parking lot, modernization in phase two. And you'll notice in the back there, you see this purple up on Puente Street?
Mm-hmm.
Monta Vista, similar to some other schools, kind of unique. It kind of has two frontages. It has the front of the school, which is on Eldred, but it's also Puente, which many people drive by there. And so we... That purple line does not mean that's the area we're going to touch. It's one of the ideas is to enhance that area in the back, and it could be with landscaping. It could be with, we don't know, it could be something. But we need to give that back a little bit more curb appeal. So when people drive by Puente, they say, wow, that's a neat school. And that could be everything from landscaping to a structure. Excuse me?
Where's the gate that they come in off Puente? Because I know children come walk in from that area.
Shade structure there for the bus drop off in the back. Here, this was put in a couple years ago.
Okay, I don't think the buses drop them off there, but parents may. Okay, but that's where.
I believe is the students going to Walnut Grove?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I appreciate that you're giving us some curb appeal because, like West Covina High School, it's a drive by, and you don't have that connection to it being the front of the elementary, so. Thank you for thinking of that on Puente. Ms. Shoemaker.
Well, the back. Where the solar panel is on this school, I have less of a concern because the street is mostly used for the school or residents, so you don't have the continuous flow that you do at Cameron or Merced.
It doesn't have a stripe going down the middle of the road necessarily. I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
They put those little cones out to not let you turn into that. They don't let you turn left there. That's frustrating.
We look at Orangewood. What you'll see here is A, in this case, is not solar panels. It's replacing the equipment there. You're going to ask yourself, where are the solar panels?
Edgewood.
kind of hold on to that.
I figured that out.
When we get to Edgewood, we'll talk about the solar panels. Or we can just say right now, the solar panels will be at Edgewood in that parking lot feeding the school. And modernization for Orangewood would be in phase one. It says solar panels located at Edgewood. When we look at Vine, which is, I think, is one of these schools that we're talking about, probably could use a little enhanced curb appeal on the front. They don't have the brick. Modernization would be in phase three. The solar panels, the shade structures, and replacing the playground equipment at that school. That takes us, there's one more. West Cove, again, solar panels, playground, and then... through modernization, if it was determined, kind of a facelift on the front there. Again, that school has all brick, maybe just to leave that there, but it could also be landscaping or signs.
Right. With West Cove, it is a TK, two school, so when you're looking at replacing playground equipment, they actually need a smaller kinder-sized playground equipment. So please keep that in mind because we see it as an elementary. But really, the kiddos are little, and the bigger playground equipment for bigger kids may be too big for these little ones because they're littler. Same thing with the solar panels. If there's a way to put that closer to the cafeteria so that, our little kiddos have a shade structure. My big concern was the size, that you keep in mind the size of the playground because we tend to forget that they're the littler ones there.
appreciate that. And I hope when we go out to the school, that would also come out too. But okay, we appreciate that.
And what are we using that back bungalow for on California Avenue?
Oh, that's the the city runs that one. That's
no,
the city.
Oh, yeah. But it's not anymore. Yes, not anymore.
Yes, yeah, that.
Yes, it is.
No, that's the one in California.
Yeah.
We got the one in California. This is an option.
That's
an
option.
Options?
Yeah, that's options.
The one in California in that corner. There's two in California. There's the top and there's the bottom one. That's the one that
no, this one's still used by options.
Yes.
Yes.
Used by options.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
because I thought that was a West Covina.
That's what I thought.
And I thought they closed.
The one, that's the one at California in the, in that one corner of the corner of.
On the opposite of the options?
California and Bainbridge.
Oh, okay, so.
Right at that corner, that's the one that we acquired. The other one is the, that's the options.
Oh,
yeah,
the city still runs it?
The city still does
okay.
that one, yeah.
The one at West.
Okay.
Well, I know we approve them, but then, you know, and they we charge them a dollar or nothing. And they pay their own electricity, right? So they're not going to be on our solar grid? No? or they don't? I don't know.
That's a good sure. question.
Those are all, yes, those are all questions for the solar, whether it feeds into one panel, but we would be addressing that. I don't have that answer for you tonight, but that would definitely be.
Well, that's why I'm kind of looking at the exteriors, like.
Yeah.
How's that going to run, and are they ours? And if they come back to us, it would be nice if they were on the grid.
Mm-hmm. So we've finished the easy phase of this with the elementary schools. Now the real discussions begin with the secondary schools. So if there aren't any more questions on elementaries, we can proceed to the secondaries. And we'll start with Holland Crest. One of the things, when you look at here, you'll see a lot of activity in phase one. One of the things that we've been talking about there is the HVAC system. There, we've been hearing that for many years.
Not many. Several.
Several. Several years.
We've been trying
and
to be
so on. If we are going to go ahead and replace that system, it would be a great time to do the modernization. So in phase one, you would see that modernization taking place, which now in secondary would include upgrading their science classrooms. 1-2 on here. I'll come back to 1-1. Well, let's just talk about 1-1 right now. That field at Holland Crest needs some new irrigation, new pipes. We're proposing to do that using non-bond dollars, using deferred maintenance. You'll see moving the baseball field down towards Merced, and in the back providing them a field, a soccer field that would not be artificial turf but would be grass. That field, once we get the irrigation replaced out there, get it leveled out, would be a great asset for that school. 1-2 is a new building. Now we're getting into some new construction. It's a multi-purpose room, athletics, gymnasium, that could be used for many things. PE classes could go in there. Music program could go in there and give presentations. They do have a multi-purpose room in the front. This one would be a larger functioning area for them. We're also proposing that at the other schools you'll see those come up. Solar panels in the back there. Any questions about Holland Crest? Yes.
Okay, Ms. Shoemaker has questions.
Can we not put the solar panel shade structure in the back corner of campus? I don't think we need our middle school students in the furthest corner away from supervision when they're on their breaks. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, put them in between the proposed new building and the existing building because that's a back corner that I recall people have mentioned before that students kind of drift off into that staff doesn't necessarily want them back there.
Thinking of flying objects hitting solar panels? Is that what we're thinking?
No, I'm yeah. thinking it's a back corner of middle school students where staff can't see them.
So, okay.
What will they be doing?
Well, and I think the biggest concern at Holland Crest, or at least another one, was off of Merced because there's a little gully behind where the baseball diamond is, and the children, and there's bushes, and they were able to go down there and not be seen. Mm. So then they put that it's not even a temporary fencing, but some kind of meshing up. Mm-hmm. So when the students were walking the track, what they would do is they would walk the track and then end up in that little gully, and nobody would know they were, I mean, and when I mean gully, it's just a little dip. No one knew they were back there. And I didn't know they had a problem on the other end, but you have a nephew there, so you'd be more privy to what's happening now.
It was before him, but, I mean, you can look at the campus and just where
right.
the cafeteria is, where the classrooms are, you can tell that, you know, that's not an occupied corner.
Well, and you
campus.
Wouldn't be able to see them there because that's where the math built. There's math and there's a few other things right there in those.
Correct.
So that would be a nice little place to hide out. You have the, this little blue broken line, and they're not on the other ones.
Right.
Does that signify anything?
Good point, yes. 1-1, when you see that broken line, that encompasses that entire field that we would go in, replace that irrigation at that field, and then replant it, level it. Level it, replant it. So you're going to see that at some of the other secondary schools.
And then they, at one time, and this might have been like 3 or 4 years ago, they wanted it to be part of the Emerald Necklace. They wanted Hollencrest to be part of that. And they wanted to make it a walking path. And it was okayed, but then they didn't have the funding to do that. Is that complete? I would hate to spend all this money and then have that come to fruition. Do we know that is we are not going to be part of the Emerald Necklace anymore and have that walking path?
At this point in time, we're not part of the Emerald City.
It was part of the Emerald Necklace.
Yes.
That was good.
There's no obligation on that.
Okay.
So for my edification, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, they were trying to make throughout the San Gabriel Valley a place where you can ride and walk your bike. And ride your bikes. They wanted to put all these different kind of natural vegetation and make it a natural place for people to walk. And then they were going to, you know, have an opening somewhere off Merced, and then people were going to be able to walk on this natural. They were going to build it. They were going to fund it, walking path. But then they ran out of money. But it seemed like the residents were interested. There was a high interest in that, but they ran out of money.
But on our property, they were going to do that?
Yes, they were going to do it on our property.
It was back in about 2011, 2012. I haven't heard any more of that.
Did the board at the time approve that concept? Or?
Well, it was okay to move ahead with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we were interested.
Okay.
I don't think there was any there was nothing that they could formally start with, but they wanted to make sure we were interested before they would move along with that.
I think they got stalled because they did start. They have connected some walking paths in the county, and they got stalled over funding. And I know that they're in the process of raising funds, but we haven't heard anything. Mm. Yeah.
But I know that the surrounding neighborhood was interested in that because right now there's a nice place for people to walk at Edgewood, which will be another conversation. But they were hoping to have something like that where they could walk in their neighborhood.
Okay. With Hollencrest, I know that we're proposing to change the baseball field to this bottom lower corner. I highly doubt we're going to have home run hitters, but are we far enough away where they won't be landing any balls into people's backyards? Because right now with it facing the school, it's not going to go any further than hitting the school for the... Yeah, I just don't. I don't know baseball clearance, so okay. Thank you, Mr. Larkin's looking at me saying it's fine.
It's fine.
What you have to worry about is the foul balls onto the cars on Merced.
Oh yeah, very
and so,
good. Foul
so the
balls.
Place so the placement of that field may actually be a little farther up, and if there had to be some screen, we would look at that.
On your multi-purpose, it's going to be like a gym-like type, and what the band can use and everything, where they have nets and everything, it's going to be a big enclosure. How big is that? Do you plan on making this?
So,
will it have seats in it, and also?
There can be a combination of things. There could, as you build these, you can have a stage on it. You can have seats that come out like bleachers.
Yes.
You can have it a divider where there's a retractable wall, so you could divide it and have two, or have it open up. I'm going to refer to my architect here if he remembers basically the size of that, how many square feet.
I think it was about 4,000 square feet. You can do pretty much anything you want to do within it. We just have to talk about what is best for the school.
Okay. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. So before we move on, Dr. Coghlan, I want the board to realize this is a perfect point, because if you're looking at phase one with the multi-purpose room building, school modernization, curb appeal, all in phase one, there's no way you can do that without displacing some kids. So would you go over a little bit about what that process might look like?
So this would be a phased project, which would mean buildings would be done in phases. We would need to bring in relocatable classrooms, portable classrooms, where students would be moved to for anywhere from 4 months to 6 months. As that phase becomes complete, then students are moved back in, and then the other students move out. So those classrooms could be placed in a number of locations, provided you have access to electricity and if you need any water. Places could be back there in the solar panels. Places could be, you know, I've seen them where they put them on the where those base or those basketball courts are. Then you're giving up space depending on your PE program. So it's not uncommon to bring on portables onto a classroom. The best scenario is where you take everybody off the campus and you move them somewhere, but we don't always have that luxury to do that. So it would be a phased project, and while the construction's going on, areas would be blocked off to prevent students from wandering in those areas.
Does it have to be put on the asphalt?
It doesn't have to be. It's it could be on that grass area back there. It could be where the 1.1 is. What you look at is where can you get the portables? You got to get them there. Where can you get power to those portables? And is there a path of travel to get to them? And that may be some temporary asphalt if it needs to be.
Well, I was just, when you were talking about the basketball courts, mm-hmm. when you look at this school compared to the other schools we're looking at, it's a very small piece of property in comparison. So when you're talking about putting relocatables here, and you're talking about middle schoolers who need a lot of room, they have a lot of energy, you want to make sure that they're still able to play their basketball and do all the things and run around, not impede that movement. So I thought you were talking about maybe putting him here on where the existing basketball court is.
Well, he was.
Oh.
Well, again, when we put these things, we speak with the principal, we speak with the PE program to make sure that we're still going to be able to provide the same space for the students.
Yeah, and again, this obviously, we have to look at this, but we're Trustee Shoemaker was talking about moving the solar panels. You already have a series of portables there. You could go a 4x4. You could add 8 more, you know, 4 behind it and 4 behind it, because there's obviously the power sync up would be in short order and whatnot. So, but I agree with you. Nobody likes a portable village, but it isn't necessary, and you will get some grief through the process. There's no way around that, but we obviously would do the best we can to expedite it.
Moving on, or question?
Really quick, and excuse my tardiness. I had an open house at my school. But so based on the comments that I've just heard in terms of the work being done, so there is no way of trying to do the majority of this work while students are off for the summer. I'm assuming because the scope of the work, it has to kind of be done all year round?
We do the best we can with the phasing, but it's a long process. Even if to do a building is going to take more time than what you have in the summer break. We do work that into our schedule and try to do as much as we can, but time doesn't permit. Okay. Looking at Walnut Grove, you see here also in need of some parking spaces at Walnut Grove. So on Walnut Avenue, we're proposing parking spaces with solar panels. Also, 1.1, their field needs to be renovated. and we would be using non-bond dollars for that. Modernization for this project would be in phase three, and they would also receive a multi-purpose room athletic field. Yes?
Why are we stopping the field there? Because we own the property below it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a fence right there?
I don't believe so. I thought it's a little further down.
The fence here, and currently is this baseball field?
That's ours, though.
There's still an area behind the fields, though, mm-hmm. between the fence and the fields.
Probably was going.
Yeah.
I don't. It is our land. I don't know if our students use that during the day right now. Is there a fence there that prevents them from using that? Doesn't mean that.
They put up a fence without our permission.
If the board chooses to renovate that parts of our land, I mean, we can look at that.
I think we need to start taking some consideration and ownership of the fact that the majority of what people consider Walmerada Park is, in fact, school district. Mm-hmm. And there's been more and more talk at the league that, oh, it's the school district. It's the school district that's supposed to be maintaining it. So if we're going to have the community believing we're not doing our job, then maybe our presence needs to be known.
I have a question. Uh-huh. On Walnut, the driveway's covering two buildings. I think those are the girls and boys changing rooms.
That's correct. They are. So those portables could be moved to another location. We looked at that. And
I don't see them anywhere.
Oh, you don't see where they are on here?
No, I don't see where you move them to.
Possibly there's places in here. Again, it goes with the electricity. We can move them over here. Again, if you were modernizing this campus too, you may have to set up portables in that area. So they would need to be relocated, yes, for that part.
But they would have to be relocated permanently.
Yes.
Unless there's rooms that aren't being utilized. And then I know this is an underutilized campus. And before we start, I know that there's been thoughts about how do we attract students to Walnut Grove, because they're oftentimes choosing to go to one of the other middle schools when this is in their feeder pattern. Have we decided what we're going to do there, and would that affect what choices of buildings we might want to put in and what we might want to do with the school before we modernize?
The answer is no. We have not made any decision, and we would come before the board with anything dramatically that would change the curriculum at that school. That being said, there are lots of ideas floating out there to do that very thing you just said. If you notice, there is time to do that. If you look at the timeline, I have no problem in putting solar in, regardless of campus usage. I will tell you this, and this is not why we did this. I want to be real clear before I say this, but I had an opportunity to go to the ball fields one evening and just observe, and I couldn't find a place to park. The parking is so bad. So you're actually there's a community service here. That's not why you're doing it, but the staff needs parking there as well. So
I need to dovetail on that because it's another concern with the solar panel shade structure where it is. The baseball league currently, when it gets very crowded, that gate where they showed coming into this new, there's an existing gate, the league actually parks on the blacktop here. And so with the parking lot the way it is and the shade structure there, you're going to be cutting off allowing people to park on the blacktop. And so even this parking lot you're putting in is not going to compensate for the loss of those spots. So just a thought, because this league is mostly West Covina residents. Right.
So would the recommendation be to put the solar in a different location then?
Yes. And then
to come up with an alternate location.
And possibly leave some way to
still get through.
Get through
a gate that would go from where that B is. that could be opened up in that event, but primarily would be staff parking.
Correct.
Is that a special event they do that, Trustee Shoemaker, or is it just generally open to park on the asphalt?
That would be Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah, okay. Huh, fascinating.
I mean, even tonight, two of my nephews had baseball games. There was no parking to be found because when all of the fields are going, there's just not enough parking.
If that's the desire of the board to allow that parking, we can. It could certainly be designed so that could be overflow parking or main parking, actually,
well,
for those
it's
days.
Just a consideration because, again, you know, no preference because my nieces and nephews are in the league, but it is a community concern, and they are our residents. It's some leagues have a lot of people from outside, but this particular league is not that way.
Mm-hmm. The there's a lot of homeless at the park, and they routinely break into the soda machine at the park to be able to plug in their phones. You know, they jimmy rig it so they can use it the way they would like. There's nothing they could do to the solar panels, right?
As far as tapping
in their cell phone?
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of damage to the things, and that's a whole, you know, I know it's a different subject, but we want to make sure what we put on is going to be safe. And in this location, that's going to have access, if it's open on Saturdays for the public to park in, that even if we put it anywhere near there, the public is going to have access to that on a regular basis. And I don't know enough about solar panels to know, so, can they be harmed in any way.
And so we would...
and they will go there under the rain, the rain, because they're...
Right. We would work closely with the solar companies because I'm sure that they have put solar panels in at schools in areas that are prone to... You know, there's homeless, there's a type, that environment. And so I'm sure that they have experience in doing that and what works and what doesn't work.
And it would be the only school I'd really be worried about. That component is this particular school. Mm-hmm. So if they were looking at it, that would be an issue really just to address.
That's a good point.
For Walnut Grove.
If I could add, my son also played several years there. And I think the addition of a parking lot to dissuade people from parking on the blacktop is a good idea, just because I've seen what happens when people park on a blacktop. You know, it does become sometimes a hazard. Cars, really, there's no direction on how to park. I've never seen the cars there, so I'm not too sure how it may look more orderly than I think. So the addition of a parking lot, I think, you know, could help that, you know, something to keep in mind.
Ms. President, if I may, just I want to finish a thought before we move on. If you approved the plan, and if we did phase zero, if we did phase one, which you see is using funded by maintenance, non-bond dollars, you really have not made a large investment into the school. Even in phase two, there's nothing currently planned until, you know, 10, 15 years down the line of phase three. My point being is I do believe there is significant time with no great risk to develop this plan of what Walnut Grove is or should be or could become.
Except for the solar panel.
I apologize. I had to step out. I just needed the seating capacity back to Holland Crest of the multi-purpose building. I know we're looking at it for variety, but if we were to seat in there, what is the architect envisioning?
So the square footage would probably be approximately 4,000 square feet in an area that size. We're doing a math problem over here right now.
Okay.
How many square feet?
Okay, 4,000 square feet is good. Thank you.
375, what are we looking at? We got a number coming here. 300. I was close. 300.
And then what is the seating capacity currently in their cafeteria slash performing art building?
They're multi-purpose.
Don't have that information, but we can get that information.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Because I know that they do not fit in their multi-purpose rooms. We want to, I mean, or their multi-purpose rooms. So we want to make sure we're a little bit bigger if we're going to utilize it that way. Thank you. Okay. On to Rio Verde.
Rio Verde. Now, when you look at Rio Verde here, remember a couple years ago, we modernized about half of this campus. As you know, on June 30th, the program is being moved out to various school sites. And when we look at Rio Verde, there still are parts of that campus that have not been modernized. There is also money available from the state to modernize the remainder of that campus, as much as up to, say, 50 cents on the dollar to finish the modernization of that campus. What that campus in the future with the program being moved out to various sites could be, that's another discussion, but it is something to consider when we look at modernization at Rio Verde to say someone's going to pay the state's going to pay the other half to modernize that school. So it's definitely something to consider, modernizing those three buildings, the multi-purpose room, the cafeteria, and putting the solar panels in. What was modernized are those three buildings that you see are not in blue, and also the restroom over in the other area. We would do this in phase one because on July 1st, there are no students there that will be at Rio Verde on July 1st. So that's a project that could get done over the summer. We already have DSA-approved plans for the modernization of that school. So it could go very quickly and proceed over next year, which then at the end of July or June 30th, 2018, would be a school that would be fully modernized at the district's disposal.
I know we don't know how we're going to use it. And let's say it was used as an elementary school. It would be great if, you know, if the other elementary schools were going to have those, I can't remember what they called, smart walls. I mean, if we were going to do those things, to do it while we were doing the modernization. But we really need to know what we're going to do with the school before you modernize it and do those things. If it was going to be some kind of middle school or science center for high schoolers or one of those high school college type things, it would be a different classroom setup. Mm-hmm. So when are we going to have that discussion if these are going to be done in phase one?
I believe for RVA in particular, for reasons we've discussed here, it is vital, important in my opinion, that we not have an empty school site. And we do need to have a plan. And there are, again, Trustee Polis, I'm going to be vague in my answer except to say I believe by the time the decision was made to actually approve construction on RVA, you would have already voted on a direction for the school site.
Now, on the rooms that were done, they have some of those specialized rooms,
mm-hmm.
correct? They moved up the windows, which mm-hmm. we would not have done.
Correct.
We would have left the windows as they were, which I really like light, and now they're up high, so you don't have the kind of light we would. Those are going to stay. I mean, we made those choices, so the windows are going to stay. And for lack of a better word, this is not what they're called, the cool-down rooms.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with the cool-down rooms? Are they staying the way they are?
Ms. Knutson.
I think the functionality can be used differently. With some of the programs we're looking at possibly locating to that site, we would have activities and things that could more than easily use those classrooms.
Because there's no windows in there. I mean,
there could be office space. There's a number of things that we've looked at.
Okay.
The other thing is, as you go through modernization at these schools, if there are no windows now and there needs to be windows put in, windows can be put in.
Because, I mean, and I don't, that's why I want to make sure I don't want to put more money into something like we did. I mean, those were great rooms,
mm-hmm.
and those rooms were needed. Now, as we're looking at modernization, are the schools where these children are now going to be moved and there's a need for a cool-down room, is that in our modernization also? Or is that something we're just going to do? Where is the cool-down rooms going to be? Where, you know, if they're needed here, these students are still going to need them in at the sites they're going to be at.
Well, generally speaking, we probably wouldn't. We would need those. We probably would not schedule bond funds for that. We would probably use our general funds for that program. But let me also say that during this transition, students that we feel can handle the comprehensive high school will be going to the comprehensive high schools. Students that we feel are not a good fit will not. Not saying that there won't be that need, but it may not be as extreme as it was before. Would you agree with me, Ms. Knudsen?
Yes, Dr. Hinman, and I believe Ms. Casado spoke to that they've already been over to the campuses, and I've identified spaces that are already available for that need.
And they'll be modernized, but without bond funds,
yeah,
prior to the students moving there. Because we're talking about modernization, just want to make sure that.
Well, if that is a need, but I believe they already have some spaces at both Coronado and Edgewood that would suffice to meet that same need. So we're hoping that not too much funding would have to go toward that.
Again, I'm in the weeds, but if it were, I'll just pick Edgewood, for example. We would not spend bond money to modernize those particular classrooms until the school itself was in the rotation for modernization, at which time all of the classrooms would be addressed simultaneously. The rooms that you're describing would meet the need for those particular students at that particular time. But would we go in and rip out walls and put in new light? No, but that would not take place on this plan.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to
Kevin. Okay, before we go on, and I know we're pressed, but can you just give a dollar amount of what we would ask for bond dollars versus we would get for state dollars, so we just know?
So
I know it's a guesstimate, but I just want the board to hear that.
To finish the modernization at that school, the total modernization we'd probably be looking at, it could be $3.5 million. There could be as much as $1.7 million in state matching. So for $1.7 million, $1.8 million in bond dollars, we could finish that school.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there, on San Jose Edison, I know that it's not considered modernization, but there was, because of the fire that was there, there was a lot of work done on their multipurpose room and the music room. I don't know if that's what it, but that's not reflected here. But should that be reflected, that was done?
It wouldn't have been with our bond money.
But you have when it was originally built.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't done with your bond money. And so, I mean, that was.
It would be with insurance money, is what it was. So for eligibility, I don't know if.
I would just like it reflected on the form so then when people look, they'll say, oh, yes, they did get, because we're looking at putting a multipurpose room at our other middle school at Walnut Grove. So, and to be equitable, they have a great multipurpose room, but it was because of the fire, a sad reason, but that wasn't something originally that was in their square footage, but they were able to have that. It was completely remodernized, and it's lovely.
So in the notes down below, I think it would be fair to say modernized the year and actually name the project that was modernized. Would that be
absolutely
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can see here that you see the dotted outline of their field and funded by San Jose Charter. They are proposing to pay for that renovation.
Why does it look, I mean, it almost looks like aliens came in and made a design.
Prop designs.
The sprinklers.
Yeah. No, it's the way the sprinklers go? Wow.
Question, Ms. Shoemaker.
I understand that they're going to fund it, but who will be in charge of maintaining it?
They're, They're proposing artificial turf, not grass that would be mowed, so it would be up to them to maintain it. It would be up to them to maintain it.
Okay. And
that's
going to have that written somewhere.
Yes, and I also share that I did talk to Dr. Patton, and she did concur that once it was paid for and built, that it would be district property. It would immediately become district property as of the rest of the facility.
That's not my concern. My concern is what's the difference in cost of maintaining the artificial turf versus grass turned into crop circles?
That's going to be really hot.
Yep. It would be less maintenance. If the maintenance of that field and there's maintenance package, they would be responsible for that. That would actually take...
Do we know that there's maintenance package?
Well, when we put in our artificial turf... When we do.
San Jose is putting it in. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to be responsible for it, do we have a seat at the table to make sure the contract says what it needs to say to have the maintenance built in so that that's not a cost we're incurring day one? And
that would be spelled out in the contract, right?
I have just a little
My question is, do we have a seat at the table?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Sure. It's our property.
I really love grass, okay? And there's a lot of great aspects for grass and playing on the grass, and that's going to be really hot. Really hot. Is there a way for them to put in grass, and why are they wanting artificial turf there? And I know when I was a kid, it didn't look like this, but we used to play on that field. And then for sure we would never get to go on that field ever again.
But I see people soccer on artificial grass all the time. Soccer fields, that's all they do is play on soccer.
One of the things we've heard from that side is it's a small area and they have a lot of use out there. And that grass just does not have time to breathe and to regrow. And so it's for that reason that they're proposing the artificial turf.
And is it still fenced in so the neighbors can't go and play? The only reason I'm asking is we try to keep our other schools open. Mm-hmm. And that was my stomping ground when I was a kid because I lived up the street from it. And we played there all the time. And then for sure, if it's artificial turf, then the community won't be able to utilize it. But if I remember correctly, there's a fence there, and we couldn't get back there anyway. But
now, the community, will they be still, don't they help soccer?
No.
On that field now?
No.
They don't?
No.
I know in the past that field has been used as part of for practices or yes. I don't know where it is in the rotation right now.
I don't think they utilize it anymore because once you built these relocatables over here, mm-hmm. I think they took it out of the rotation and that they were letting different groups use it. San Jose Edison was allowing people to use it. I don't think it was in our rotation anymore.
I also, trust that when this is being discussed, an important element of the discussion will be the redoing of the turf in approximately 8 to 10 years, which, is one of the elements of, mm-hmm. Putting in these turfs. It's the upkeep and the replacement when it's time.
Part of the contract, the agreement. Hey, questions with San Jose?
No, but if we're any, and I'm going to ask this for every single time we're putting on artificial turf, is the community, what kind of access is the community going to have with it? I asked it for Edgewood last time. Mm-hmm. And I know when my son was young, because we would have loved to use the school like I did when I was a kid playing basketball, volleyball. We would just go there and play because there really isn't a neighborhood park close to us. So that's where we would play. And if there's access to the community now and they're not going to have it because of the artificial turf, I want to know.
So moving to Coronado, you see solar panels at Coronado. Any kind of modernization would be in phase 3 and enhancing the curb appeal.
Are enhancing the curb appeal in phase three, why so long for Coronado?
With the why they are in phase three has
for the curb appeal. They're not getting a major structure.
It doesn't mean the curb appeal couldn't happen faster. Typically, what we were proposing was the curb appeal, the face enhancement when modernization takes place. Doesn't mean it can't happen sooner.
Okay. And so you're not going to do anything with their grass, their field.
It's not used as much.
Okay. The only reason I'm familiar with it is because of Top Soccer, mm-hmm. and it's right. kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. But that's not the school using it, mm-hmm. although their students are out there helping with Top Soccer. And then, are you going to do anything where those relocatables were taken out? And it looks like it's all dirt. It looks like you're going to put the solar panels there, but that's not a very nice place.
It's not a nice.
I mean, it's dirty, it's ugly, it's.
Right. So the solar panels back there, the functionality of them would be to produce energy. It'd be like a little solar farm.
So it wouldn't be a shade structure, because it says shade.
Solar panel structure. Shade structures. That is probably mistitled for that one slide.
Because that is. I mean, if there was a way to.
Could it be over there where they're behind their garden? Because then that's close to where they eat.
Those are areas that we would look at as possibly a shade shelter when we go through the solar process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then are you going to take the play equipment away during this? Or are they still going to, because I don't think it's fenced off, right?
The play equipment is out there. I don't know if we have any plans to remove that. I think our plan was just to leave it there.
Top Soccer uses it, but no one else uses it. Because these are high school students, and that's elementary school equipment.
Is the play equipment going to be updated? I don't see it here for the preschool program.
Babies.
Kelsey. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is that play equipment going to be updated? Since we're updating all the play equipment?
Dr. Hammond?
It's not this time, and we will be coming back to the board with that discussion.
Okay. But the fence that they requested, the safety fencing, is all put up, right? So you can't see into their play yard anymore. They put some...
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the shade.
Well, what they were worried about is the visibility mm-hmm. from the from Francisquito mm-hmm. and Hyacinth. They said it was right there, but they put, I think, some green...
Right, over the fencing that breathes, but you really can't see.
Right, and I mm-hmm. never see the children anymore, and that's fine with them, right? Mm-hmm. And now the solar structure will be there, but it won't be covering them, will it? It looks like it's over the play yard, but
again,
that's the street.
Again, the size of these, they're not to scale. It's a conceptual where the solar panel would go.
So it would just be a... Well, and how much of that is ours? Because part of that is public street access, and part of it's our parking.
There are regulations and guidelines with how close you can get these structures to the street, and so that would be taken into consideration.
And it fits there now, if we know if it's there?
In Mr. Larkin, working with the solar companies, when sat down with us, and they looked at all of our sites, said a solar panel could be put there. I feel like we're the Academy Awards now. It's been about as long as the Academy Awards. Hopefully I won't make a mistake right now. We're down to the Best Picture and Best Actress, Edgewood Middle School, High School, and District Office.
Don't make any mistakes.
We'd like to talk about now. I have no candy that's going to fall down from the sky. Okay, Edgewood Middle School, High School, District Office. When we look at this, let's talk about the district office first over on the right. You see the solar panels that will be going up over there. Want to talk about the district office first? Mm-hmm. District office. Yes.
Is the A on the front part of the district office on our parking lot?
Right, because it's divided there. So that would be on our, as you know, it kind of goes right down the middle of that road. So any shade structure or any solar structure would be on our property.
But we'd be helping shade city property?
As it is now, many of those cars where they, if they, I believe where our cars park is our property. That's our property, so it would be over those parking stalls right now. That side, that left side, is our property
yes.
line.
And then I would just say same concern of it being close to Merced, where there's a skate and the skateboard park and the hockey rink and
the community.
Soccer fields and all of that, just more susceptible to damage.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on the district office before we move on to Edgewood Middle and the high school?
But all what Ms. Shoemaker's questions will be, we'll make sure that there can't be damage, because there's a lot of use now of our parking lot, mm-hmm. but once that soccer complex is built, we probably won't find places in the evening.
I wouldn't do it.
So.
Right. When we look at Edgewood, the site over at Edgewood, middle school and high school, phase zero, you see up there in the upper left the A's, which are the solar panels, which in a sense is a solar farm, which will provide power over at Orangewood. You also see a shade structure in the middle of the campus there, that backwards L. Marked A, that would be a shade structure, solar panels in the center of the school. And also in phase zero would be, we've talked about before, the synthetic track and field with solar panel there where the A is, and some very low, not major bleachers that you would have at West Covina High School, but some bleachers that might be four or five rows up for, should there be a soccer game there or track events for people to set. Yes, Ms. Shoemaker.
Enough to generate power to heat the pool using solar?
That was my question. Good question.
So one of the things that we'd also look at is in conjunction with the building of that pool, is it advantage to use solar to heat the pool? And if so, where would those panels go in proximity to the pool? So where they're not shown on here, if that's possible, we would definitely look into that.
Well, we know it's possible to heat a pool using solar.
Yes. It has to do with the cost of the structure itself, the return that you're going to get from it versus what you would do. Gas is relatively cheaper than electricity, and so it's something. Gas to heat a pool?
If we're moving to solar panels, I mean, shouldn't we be answering that question before we start putting solar panels on the site?
That will be when we enter into discussions with the solar companies would be, yes, what would be the advantage of putting in solar panels to heat that pool? What's the cost advantage? Dr. Hammond.
Well, Mr. Dixon or Mr. Larkin, do you have any thoughts on heating the pool with
I think solar thermal is a really good idea, and I think it would incorporate it in your pool project.
Mr. Dixon, would you come up to the mic, please? Yeah.
I should know better. thank you, Dr. Hammond, for the etiquette
no worries.
Lesson.
No, it's just in your report.
Okay. So that it's a very good, very good question, and solar thermal is cost effective. I would make it part of the pool project. So if you're putting a pool in, you're putting in your changing rooms, you can put it on the roof of your changing rooms, because solar thermal is a little different setup than panels typically. And also if you have bleachers on the deck, you need shade on the deck typically. You could put cantilevered solar there, solar thermal as well. So good idea. It would work, but I would make it separate from the other solar projects.
Perfect.
There's a shade area now. I mean, it's the pool's completely covered, that a solar panel could go where, you know, and then when the swimmers go into that shade area a lot. But it's right here. The shade area is right here in the pool.
At this point in time, with the cost of this, we're proposing basically just to start from scratch, blow up the pool, start from scratch. It may be more advantageous to do that. Than
well, it
to
looks
try
like you're also taking away the
racquetball.
Racquetball or
those would need to be.
That doesn't really use much. I don't think the racquetball.
They are used sometimes by the community, so those would need to be, and those very possibly could be relocated at the end of the tennis courts down there. There's places that we would need to relocate those.
Thank you, because also, the community does use it on the weekend. I'm so sorry, you've been wanting to jump in. Go ahead.
Also, I asked about the pool. And then on that site, the city going to come in with us on this?
That's a conversation that Dr. Hinman and I have started to have with the city. I know they've expressed an interest in that. What that would look like and what that relationship would be is part of many discussions that are down the road.
Okay,
but they have expressed an interest.
And you might also want to discuss with them because once we start building these other facilities where there's gyms at, they might try to get into some of those facilities also.
There will be demand from different organizations to want to use those facilities that we will have to address.
Because my experience with that pool in Edgewood is that over the years it seems like outside groups, specifically Bishop Amont, has had priority use over even Edgewood in terms of the pool. Yeah, they've kind of operated, well, this has always been our time, and that's going to be our time. And Edgewood was relegated to having to swim at 5:30 in the morning and you know, because we didn't want to bump Bishop Amont. And so, obviously, we're investing the resources to get this, you know, to improve the facility. So I'd hate to think that, you know, that type of MO would continue. Sorry for anybody who graduated from Bishop.
We have a current joint use agreement with them, and during the school time, from start of school to the end of school, Edgewood is, we have rights to the school from 6 a.m., I believe, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. After that, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., it belongs to the city. And the city brings in Bishop Amont, and they do use that school. In the summertime, it's reversed, and we have it after the city has it in the daytime, and we have it in the evening hours. And so that's the current agreement we have because we have that joint use agreement. Depending on the partnership or the arrangement, that would determine those terms would be looked at.
Thank you.
And, Board, we will be coming to you. You know, this is phase one is fall of 17, September of 17. So clearly before that time, we'll be coming to you with sharing our discussions with the city and how much they really want to join in some of these projects or not. At that point, obviously, you'll be the determiner of that.
And before I agree to anything, I really want to know what kind of because right now, this is where the community congregates.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, they're at, really at the track, the pool, and the tennis courts.
And the racquetball courts.
Yeah, that this whole area is very heavily used. And then in the weekends, but in the summer, there's all kinds of activities here, and that's why they serve the free lunch over at Orangewood Park, because then a lot of times these children just go over here and go swimming or mm-hmm. or play here. So I want to know what kind of access the public is going to have, or are they not? Is that part of the decision that?
My hope would be, and you may not agree with this, but my hope would be that any use of our fields would be through facility use process, that they wouldn't just be open across the board. So if a group wanted to use facility use for the pool or the tennis courts or the track, by all means, it's filling out paperwork. It's not a, it's very little, if any, money at all. But where I think things would change would be the monitoring. We would not probably just allow people to come and go off our facilities.
And we do that for the tennis courts. Are you saying they're not going to have that kind of access anymore?
They, technically speaking, they should have a facility request to use any of our facilities.
Because remember, the public's the one paying for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
they're paying for it, but that does not give them access to your facilities without filling out the paperwork to be on the facilities.
So,
okay, but with our agreement with the city, though, you said we, like, for example, the pool 6 to 6, and then from 6 in the evening to 10 at night, then it becomes city use. So, I had assumed that that was the same with our tennis courts, because the public even maintains them on Saturday and Sunday. They blow them for us.
In an MOU, if the city is the same thing. If the city has them from, you know, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., how they monitor them, what facility use requirements that they have would be up to them. Our only requirement would be when they turn it back over to us that they left it in the same shape in which, you know, we left it for them.
But I don't think the city runs those private individuals, like for the tennis courts. I remember when they put up the lights at Edgewood, and then everybody went to Edgewood. And then they put lights up at West Covina, and I think they started charging, you had to put a dime in or whatever to keep the lights on, and then they were free at West Covina High School. That was a big deal, and then they just took the things out, and the lights were always on. But that's for anybody in the community, not any organized group, just to come in and utilize those fields. I mean, and once again, I know you're saying they're ours, but in actuality, they belong to our community. They're the ones who are paying for all of the upgrades for them, and I still want them to be able to have access to it, because I think that they're assuming when they voted for this that didn't mean they were going to be denied access to the improvements that they are paying for. I just wanted, that's my two cents, and I'm hoping that you'll let us know what kind of access the community is going to have.
Okay. Absolutely.
The phase one has a lot of new projects at Edgewood. We have the Aquatic Center. You have a career tech renovation. 1-3 is upgrading their science classrooms. It's not a new science two-story wing. It's renovating their science classrooms. 1.4 is renovating their field, reconditioning their field like we did at Walnut Grove, Holland Crest. And then 1.5 would be a multi-purpose room IB dance based on the needs of that school. And it would be up there in the front. 1-5 could be used similar to the multi-purpose rooms at Walnut Grove and Holland Crest, but to meet the needs of their programs at that school.
So would that be a 4,000 square foot capacity as well? Is that what was proposed?
Could be
there?
Could be 4,000. Is that what you kind of were thinking? Again, on the need, it could be 4,000. It could be 6,000. I think we're planning a similar size. Is Holland Crest would be a 4,000, but that would be as you get into the planning phases, working about what are the programs, what are the needs, and then that would determine the size and the cost.
And would it be, you said a dance facility, but it's right there next to the choir and the band room. So could it be more of an arts type? So like if they were going to do a musical, if they were going to do.
I think that the vision is, and by the way, the board is the determiner of this, but the vision is, whereas Holland Crest, you would roll back bleachers to a basketball court. At Edgewood, you might roll back bleachers to a dance floor. More of the arts, and it could be turned into a theater. You could do a band concert, choir concert there. So the answer to your question is yes, if that's the determination of the board and the school. But you could always throw a basketball court in there too to provide community access to more basketball. But you have a really nice gym there.
Yeah, we have a great gym.
Yeah, so.
But we've heard from Ms. Starginski and Mr. Ballara that there was a real need for something for the arts at that facility, especially since they were moving to the IB and they were expanding. And then you were saying something about dance. I just wouldn't want it limited to the dance when we're trying to grow all those programs.
Oh, gosh, no. It would literally be a multi-purpose arts facility.
And in constructing a multi-purpose facility, would that mean they would still use the cafeteria for their performances or not? Or they could be running more than one?
It could be an option.
Not. It would be. You could convert into a very nice.
So all their lighting
theater.
would now move.
Yes.
All their. Okay.
Yes.
So then in constructing that, we have to keep in mind the ability to green rooms for them, because right now they don't have any of that. Kids are changing in the rooms over here, the band rooms, and so we have to keep in mind some of those facilities for the arts.
And the teachers' dining room, they change in sometimes too.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can see that modernization of the school in phase three of the classrooms, admin renovation, moving the admin on the high school side, moving it back over to the 3.1, and giving that school a little bit of enhanced curb appeal.
Okay.
Ms. Shoemaker had some questions.
Do we have to put the multipurpose room there? Is there some reason we can't have it back here? Because here you're taking out the grass in the front, you're going to change the whole look at the front of the school. And that means moving all the fencing and changing the walkways and things like that that are there.
Again, the location can be, that is the recommended location down the road. We didn't know what we would do with the front. Maybe there'd be changed access in the front, a drop-off area. It's not on there. You do want to look at where you're going to put it in relationship to parking, but yes, still could be back there.
Even if you move it back to where that portable is there, you have all of the parking right there in the corner. It's a short walk there. It's really not that much difference. Right. And if we're going to make this multi-purpose center at this school more of an arts one, is there going to be discussion of, the current band rooms and things like that either being attached to this multi-purpose room and moving them and then utilizing that wing for something else, or are they going to stay there and it's just strictly going to be a multi-purpose room that they go over and use occasionally?
All good questions.
Yeah, that's a good
location. I know when putting it in the front there, we were looking at giving it a little exposure in the front and then the back. So those are all, again, it can be put in. It just depends on what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah,
and if it's
because otherwise somehow connect the building to, if you want to leave it there, connect it to that existing structure somehow so the classrooms are connected to the multipurpose. Mm-hmm. Just something that doesn't entail at this point rearranging the entire front of the campus and having a random building there that, takes away a lot of the green there and redo walkways and everything else. And you have to remember parking, most of the time this is going to be used during school hours. So it's not like we're going to have productions every day where people are going to be looking for parking. So you're going to have the same parking issues with the multipurpose center, a room that you do now for any production the school puts on, which means they're going to use all the parking lots. So
we will look at alternative locations for that theater.
I want to go back to 3.1, the administrative wing, and it looks like you're putting it right over where it already is, correct? But I heard you say that was going to be the high school people were going to move there too. So are we doing away with trying to segregate the 6th graders from the 12th graders? Because if you're going to one administration, you're going to be going, there's not going to be the fences anymore. that divide the groups? That's a question.
We're looking at it actually down. You see this is phase three, which is several, many, many moons down. The concept is at some point it will be a K-12 IB continuum. So you'll still separate the groups. Conceptually, you could have pathways that lead to the main office and back without infringing upon the middle school area. But the idea is that the...
Not where it is right now.
Trustee Polis, I'm so not... That's so far out there right now. I don't think we've conceptualized that 15, 20 years down, except to say in the current plan, there will always remain some separation between the elementary, the middle, and the high. But where the high school office is now, it's almost impossible to find out even where it is. Yeah. The middle school main office really looks like a main office. So we're looking at, public curb appeal perception. That's where we're looking at housing all our administrators. Doesn't mean you can't put a discipline office and a counseling office somewhere else on campus. That's not uncommon.
Okay. When I saw that, that was it.
It makes sense.
A question for me because...
Makes sense.
Any other questions on Edgewood? So now we're at West Covina High School, and want to go over what we're recommending, proposing here. In phase zero, you've got your solar panels. There is B. You see relocation of the tennis courts. I'm going to come back to that when I talk about another phase. C are the bleachers. We know that the bleachers are nearing the end of their life, and those need to be modernized. And so those would be in phase zero. We're looking at parking lot bus drop-off area for D on the Fernwood side, which will provide parking for the theater, which is 1-1 and 1-3. Before I go on, E is refurbishing their fields like we're doing at the other schools using non-bond dollars. We talk about the theater.
Just a second. Right now, on Fernwood, the place closest to the A solar panels in that parking lot, that's all new parking, correct? So all that grass is going to be gone.
Right, and that parking would support the loss of the parking lot where the theater on the corner where we're proposing.
Only shows like one row, but I'm assuming there's going to be parking underneath the structure.
There'd be a number of additional parking spots there, as well as potential bus drop-off zone. As you know, the front of the high school there, where 1.1 is located, is your typical bus drop-off zone. We would now relocate that over there closer to O building on the north side of the high school and the admin building. Incorporate that all together as one area.
Is the existing parking lot here going to be connected to this new one, or is there still going to be...
It's potential. Right now it's just conceptual. We haven't even gone into the design aspect of it. It's just
Because moving here, this is moving the teacher parking, so I'm assuming we're going to want a way to mark off where they park versus where the students park.
Correct. My recommendation would be to separate it, not have it free-flowing.
Okay. But the student parking's way over here.
The student parking is by the tennis courts, correct, and that would remain.
So in all this was teacher and teacher, correct?
Teacher was where the 1-3 is, and also in the back there where those portables are.
And
that will remain.
Those gates.
They lock those. Right. That would remain. And so that new one there outside I believe that's the music room?
Yes.
Would become staff parking and also parking for a theater that would be on the corner there. That would be approximately a 650-seat theater, which would be on the corner. As we put these projects in, too, we want to be mindful of possible future projects. 1-2 would be the CTE science building, a two-story science lab, science classrooms, career tech. Because 1.2 would go right there, which is where the existing tennis courts are, where that B is right now, those are tennis courts, but they need to be, they're not functional tennis courts. And so we are
recommending. Does that mean they're not functional?
Well, they're not resurfaced. They're not, they need to have a little bit of money put into them to make them fully functional. The space is there. The land is there. They just need to be resurfaced. And they're not maintained as much as they, as well as they are where they currently are underneath that 1-2.
It ties into the bleachers. When we redid the field, the next step was going to be those bleachers. And one of the things we talked about was putting classrooms underneath there where we could put the weight rooms, the course medicine classes, things like that. So my question to you is, the weight room is currently in the structure in front of the proposed...
The 1-2.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, if are we still planning to do that with the bleachers? If we are planning to do that with the bleachers, why wouldn't we turn 1-2 so that it's parallel to the other building buildings next to it? That leaves room still, or even move it forward somehow and make it more of a square. And so we wouldn't necessarily have to lose all of those tennis courts. Mm-hmm. And people could still route around it from the student parking lot into campus.
These bleachers here are designed to just be bleachers. We did not design these bleachers with the intent of putting classrooms, weight rooms underneath them. So your question now is, why not?
Yeah.
Which is where I'm going to turn to my colleagues, and they will discuss this. Who would like to take this one?
And while they're deciding, in fairness to the board, we have had a lot of discussion about bleacher classrooms. So that's the decision was made. I believe it's a fiscal one, but I'll turn it over to Marco.
Anything can be done with the right amount of money. We do it all the time. It's just as a matter of separating with fire sprinklers and fire-rated construction. Just gets to be a very expensive building when you put it underneath there. Certainly not impossible. It's a great use of space. Otherwise, it's dead space. It's just very expensive to put a building underneath bleachers, but certainly not impossible.
Define very. Is it 500,000 more, 50 million more?
Per square foot for a building, for a standard building, you know, could be, say, $400 a square foot. When we try and put a bleacher or a building underneath the bleachers, it's going to increase the cost of the bleachers by maybe 15 to 20%. And it could increase the cost of that building by 30 to 50%.
Wow.
Okay, in layman terms, historically, one classroom standalone total amount versus one classroom under a bleacher standalone.
Sure. So a standard classroom, call it 1,000 square feet. It's really 960. Call it 1,000. Say it's $400 a square foot. That's $400,000 for one classroom. To put a classroom underneath bleachers, it's probably about $600,000.
Okay.
And the cost of the bleachers, to put these bleachers in, because that would increase the cost of the bleachers and the time putting them in, would increase that probably, could be as much as $500,000, possibly even.
Or more, $1 million. Again, anything can be done, and if that is something that the board would like us to look at, we can look at that.
Then I would ask, if we're going to put this new building in, we're going to have it behind basic shed-looking buildings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so have we thought about moving them somewhere, pulling those down, and still goes back to my question about then we can turn that building mm-hmm. and save some of the area there.
Yeah. We've thought about those buildings. They are relocating them. The 1-2 is a two-story building, and yes, those current, you know, there are single stories that would block it, but that's something that we would work with the architect on and say, okay, what's going to be the best look, and we come back with conceptual designs on that. Definitely something we'd look at. Yes?
Question on the theater. As we all know, almost immediately after the bond was passed, we had a couple parents in here already talking about their preferred location for the theater. What was the decision-making process to determine that this is where it was going to go versus other locations in our district.
So the things that we considered was the this is a theater that we want to showcase, and so we looked at that corner there and said that's a good corner to have it on. We also want to look at future projects that we may do. You see down there in phase three, you see a potential aquatic center. We don't want to rule out the possibility that perhaps maybe somewhere down the road, West Covina High School could get an aquatic center. If that were to happen under this plan, it would go right where we'd recommend putting it, right where B is, where those tennis courts are. Okay, so if you had a theater right there, then you're kind of limited on your aquatic center. You could say, well, where would we put it? We put it in the back. The minute you start putting something here, then it's a domino effect. I will say about a potential aquatic center, if it did go down the road where the B is, then we would have to relocate those tennis courts B, and we have that space in the back up there on Lark Ellen that could be tennis courts and parking lot. So the determination was what's going to give us the most aesthetic and also allow for future growth on that campus.
Well, I think my question was more in relation to here versus Edgewood or...
Gotcha.
You know, I think that's where politically it becomes a bigger issue.
Go ahead.
Well, you don't want to answer that one?
I'll answer it. I'll do it. Would you like me to do it?
Okay. Good question, Trustee Menares. Staff had to make a recommendation, and remember that's all this is. I will tell you that staff, and I will pretty much put myself at the top of that list as far as doing qualitative study, not only with you five individuals' discussions and also with school sites, with personnel and school size and location, all of those factors together, current program at the school sites, led us to this recommendation. That we did not do a survey, we did not go out to the public and ask the questions. I felt by doing that, stirring the pot would be even worse than coming up with a staff recommendation. It's a little safer for everyone that we can take that responsibility that this is what staff feels in the best interest of the district. So that's pretty much cut and dry answer to that question.
As also a community member, when I'm looking at that, when you're looking at equitability, when we're talking about having the aquatic center at Edgewood and
the theater
here at one school, then it's like, okay. But then when you're talking about having both at one school, that's a little harder pill to take. You know, so... I know the community says, you know, you can't have everything at each school, and West Covina's never had the football field, and it used to, who knows, this might be a wives' tale, that they said it was too close to the hospital, mm-hmm. and it would make too much noise, so they were never allowed to have the football field, but we had the pool. I mean, so you kind of looked at the give and take. So...
If you, again, I just along that argument... in phase one at Edgewood High School is going to be a facility that sounds like the board's direction will be an arts-dedicated facility. So I could make the argument that while it won't be a performing arts center, it will be a very nice convertible theater that will meet that need. So they will have a smaller theater. They will have a pool. They will have this is a 50-meter pool recommendation, by the way. This is a state-of-the-art facility. I'm not comfortable telling the public or you that 25 years down the line we wouldn't consider a pool at West Covina High School, which is why it's in phase three and it's stated potential aquatic center. Because, as Trustee Menares mentioned, we actually had a couple students show up and make a request to have a 50-meter pool at West Covina High School. There already is that draw, too. Then that question will come to you. Well, why are you putting the pool at Edgewood and not West Covina, where we have a bigger swim program than they do? That's a little easier to defend because you already have the skeleton of where that naturally would go. None of these decisions are easy, I concede. But when we start down that road and we kind of open it up for public dialogue, it gets very personal. So my response to you again is staff is very comfortable making a staff recommendation to you based on the criteria which I just shared. That said, this is the final decision is up to you, and we'll follow the lead of the board.
I have two questions. How big is the theater going to be?
That was my question.
About 650 seats.
Okay. One other question. I remember when I was taking tours back in the day, the wrestling room. What are we doing about that?
Yeah. Back there by the is it by the gymnasium?
It's by 2-1. It's to the left of 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, it was a mess. It's a mess. It really needed a lot of work.
When's the last time you were in it?
Maybe about a year or so ago.
It's got new flooring, new wall pads.
Hit at open house.
Yeah. Yeah, grab me. I'll do that with you.
Usually it's not open during open house. I'm just making sure if you're saying look at an open house that there's somebody there. Because I've been there and wanted to look at it before, and that's not usually one of the attractions
at open house. Okay, I want to throw out some ideas and stir up the pot with my colleagues. Completely stir up the pot. The Performing Arts Center, I see it as a real big draw for us, especially in light of, I don't know if you all know, but Duarte is opening up a charter Performing Arts Center, Performing Arts program that they will be doing, and they're going to be investing $10 million into their own Performing Arts Center there in Duarte. So we need to keep our students. We need to replace the Fields turf. Already, we were discussing that, I believe, a board meeting ago, that it has to be replaced every 15 to 20 years. We have to redo the bleachers. We have to redo the bathrooms. So there's a lot that needs to be done. I would like to propose to everyone to entertain the idea of putting the Performing Arts Center actually on the corner of Lark Allen in Cameron, where it has that biggest visibility for our school, and moving our... Since we have to do all those changes, moving our football field behind it where we have this empty space here, as well as part of that diamond, reconfiguring it so that we create this very, very large curb appeal. And since we have to change all this, and I've heard as a board member since I've been here that the sun is on what should normally be the home side. And so hence West Covina, the home side, went to the other side. So that would give us a chance to fix those problems as well.
The home side is always where
it's normally against your school.
But it's
it's against the park.
But it's always been on Lark Allen because of the sun.
Right. And so actually flipping and turning this track, this field, like I said, behind it, since we have to do all this work. And then putting that Performing Arts Center here on this corner where we have huge visibility, and it allows us also 650 seat capacity. I'd like to hear from the high school all the different uses that they could do. 650 might be a bit small. 750, 800 might be more what we need. But again, I don't know everything we would hold in the Performing Arts Center. It wouldn't just be theater. I'm sure that the school has probably identified many, many multiple uses. So what is the largest capacity we could go at the current proposed location, and then, of course, moving it over here? Now, the other thing is we talked about the science building, and I like what you said, Ms. Shoemaker, about we're going to have this beautiful building and a shack in front of it. So we definitely need to move the weight room. But if we're going to build in the science building, it was my understanding that then the bungalows were going to disappear for the English department because they can now move. So as it turns out, that whole back there is parking. I don't think we need the parking in front of the music area because that now we've gained rows of parking. So... I know it's kind of turning things upside down and changing it. There's probably a cost involved with moving our football field. But my feeling is that if we're going to do it, we only have this one opportunity to make the improvements to the school because we're not going to go back to our community. It's going to be, 20 years from now before we say we need to modernize. This will be our one shot to do it. We won't be able to do it again later. It would have to be 20 years from now. So I was curious if my colleagues would entertain, if the architect could tell us what would the cost be and what it would look like to completely reconfigure this square that is now our athletic from our weight room all the way over and completely reimagine that. So,
but Aline, also, what are you talking about? What about the people behind here that got the homes behind it, the noise factor?
That's what I was going to bring up. I mean, they already complain occasionally about noise. I mean, especially for the fireworks once a year we have. It takes away the visibility of our field and events going on there. And then the other side of it is the field that the baseball diamond you want to take out is actually Okura Field.
Well, we would move it. I'm not saying to take it out. We still need to keep a baseball diamond. I'm not suggesting that because, yes, we do need to keep Okura Field.
Yes.
But so, it's reconfigured.
But then you have, instead of having to showcase corners, you have basically a performing arts center with the baseball field, I mean the football field shoved in behind it where it's not really that visible. And then you also have the new science building. So everything's going on here, and then the rest of campus is 50 years old.
With 60 the brick.
Years old.
With the brick.
Sorry, 60 years old.
So I would like to also add the cost to redo that field and the cost to move the field are vastly different.
Okay,
because when we're talking about redoing the track, it's resurfacing. I wasn't here when that field was put in, but I think it goes down about, 5 feet?
Because they had to put all the piping under.
All of the
cool.
Padding and so and the infill and the leveling. So there would be a much more cost. Again, everything has a price, and we could certainly get that dollar amount, but it wouldn't be dollar for dollar.
I'm assuming you, instead of refurbishing bathrooms, you're now building buildings because you're going to have to move the bathrooms for the fields. You're going to have to move the concession stands.
Electrical.
There's going to have to be new gates built to get into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I am interested in hearing the question answered about the portables because I had the same question with the new building going in, are we going to be able to get rid of any of these portables? You know, the parking lot that's being called staff parking used to be student parking. And, you know, I cannot believe that when I was a student there and there were less students, that there's enough student parking going on in just the tennis court parking lot. And so, I mean, I would be curious, are we going to be able to get rid of some of these portables?
The number of classrooms that would go in where that 1-2 would be almost equal to the amount of those portables back there based on the enrollment of that school, too, and the age of those. And one of the things we talked about was we want a plan that maybe we have to replace portables, but maybe we don't. And so as they end the end of their phase and we get done with phase one and that goes in, we could look at decommissioning those portables, and if they have any life left, even moving them possibly to another site if they do have some life left. So that is the plan.
If this 1.2 is a CT and science building, why are we then upgrading the science labs in 2-1? Are we not moving all of science into the new building, and therefore that could become whatever's in all of these portables buildings?
Right. So you ask the multi-million-dollar question. And it's a great question. It has to be. Why are we calling it CTE Science Building? There is, it is a funding issue.
I know.
And so there are, we do want to build it in such a way that we want to give ourselves options, that it's a combination CTE Science Building. There is a possibility that by the time we get to phase two, where it says upgrade science labs, if there's not a need, we may not do that, may not upgrade those rooms. That's why we're putting that in phase two and not in phase one. It's based on, at that time, the needs of that school and the funding. So it's very possible that phase two upgrade science labs might not need to take place.
And then to Ms. Miranda's question about if we get rid of these portables and that becomes parking, I'm assuming we're going to need to keep some parking around the Performing Arts Center for handicap parking. But would that allow us to increase the size, or if they want to increase the seating, is there another way in the current blueprint? How would it work?
Are you talking about parking around that 1-1? Because under this plan, there would be no parking there. That would be what we consider landscape, hardscape.
Sorry.
There would have to be a path of travel for, again, ADA compliance, for access from a parking lot to that theater. I know it's kind of transparent,
yeah,
and we did it that way.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of moving the field, mm-hmm, is it true that we actually may not know the actual costs involved until we actually break ground and start digging and finding out what's under there, because that could determine the work that's needed to put the field?
We could get a pretty good estimation, but with any modernization project, there is always, when you start to peel things back, what are you going to find? But we could get a pretty good, a close cost to what that would be.
Okay, so then my next question, it doesn't sound like my colleagues are dreaming as big as I am because of cost.
It's not our money.
Yeah, right. It's the taxpayers' money.
And besides cost, I mean, again, I think it gives us two great focal points of the school, and we also kind of underestimate the fact that it's Thyberg Field. And so it's a lot different to modernize it than to tear it down completely and move it.
Well, then if we have to very carefully look at curb appeal, because right now we're looking at scaffolding and with Thyberg Field from that corner. It's all scaffolding, which isn't very appealing. And if we're not going to do classrooms underneath it, which would give us the ability to at least make it look better, then we have to really think carefully about that. But what is the largest we could go on the Performing Arts Center? Could we build a mezzanine that would then give us a slightly larger capacity? Because I know we can't go very far back or sideways, so...
When you all
come back with those costs, so we can compare that.
It just so happens that I have an architect here.
Thank
that can
you.
Answer that question, so I'm going to call up our architect.
So the footprint that we used for what you're seeing as 1-1 is probably 6 to 650. Could you put more seats there? Sure. There are setbacks from the street line that we have to maintain. We could go another tier higher.
Okay.
We could go a little bit wider. So there are opportunities. What we'd have to do is really lay out the space on the site to see what it looks like.
Okay.
And to throw a number out there for the field, just recently completed about a year and a half ago, Ontario High School, which was a brand new stadium. That particular stadium had 5,000 seats. This one has 4,000. All new concession restrooms. That included a pool. Take the pool out, and we were about $15 million for all of those facilities.
Okay.
Ballpark for what we're doing here.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, in terms of the size, like I said, I think it's going to have to be dependent on what's going to be there for our Performing Arts Center and what we're trying to accomplish. Not just theater. It's going to take on multiple uses that we're going to have available to us, and we want to make sure... This is our one time to meet that need. So I would love to see
Which will determine, are you building an auditorium? Are you building a theater? Are you building a performing arts theater? All have different costs. One of the things that we have is, I believe, some pictures.
I was going to say, you have one there with the second story there. I thought you were trying to show us what it would look like right there.
Of the kind of, I mean, if you can imagine on the corner something like that.
And we definitely have to, because we have to remain competitive, and it is going to be a showpiece for us.
Do we know, are there going to be height restriction issues? Because the Performing Arts Center, I have to imagine, is a little bit higher than a normal, like, two-story classroom.
Absolutely. When we think about buildings for these types of functions, we have MPR, small boxes, auditorium, the box gets bigger. You've got a theater, which is bigger, and then you've got performing arts. And so performing arts is kind of the grand thing. Between a theater and performing arts, you've got the fly loft, which is where you've got your rigging going up and down.
Right.
That could be in excess of 50 feet. In regards to the limit of the height, there is no limit to the height when we have different types of construction. So there is no limit to the height that we can go.
Okay.
Is there city limits?
Well, depending upon who you ask.
The neighbors?
Technically, at this point, no. Mount SAC, if you're not familiar with that, we're trying to build a parking structure right next to some houses.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That could potentially change legislation throughout the entire state. But currently, the way that it's interpreted is you as a school district, you are not subject to county ordinance, or not county ordinances, but local building codes. You go by the state architect's building codes.
So in other words, build fast.
Build fast.
Build quickly.
Were they allowed to put the parking lot
no.
there?
No,
they put the project
fighting.
On hold.
They're still fighting the residents. So when we look at the redesign, when you come back to us, I'd love to see where we could move the weight room so that another component of our showpiece becomes our science building, and even the possibility of making it larger so that we do get rid of those portables throughout the school. And in addition, are we going to be correcting our flooding problem when it rains and the lakes that go on out there? Will we be addressing that for the high school?
Would be addressed
to bring
either,
your canoe
either
to
through
to
the
class.
Modernization project or through deferred maintenance.
Okay. I'm sorry?
So, I've included some pictures of, you had a chance to look at them. Some of these are new, of theaters, of science buildings. These are just some ideas.
So before we go on, President Miranda Jimenez and board, just so I'm on the record, I just want to say that I also planted the seed of putting the theater on the corner of Lark Ellen in Cameron, only because I've been speaking forever on taking it to the next level. That showpiece. What is our showpiece going to be? Not only for the West Covina Unified School District, but to be honest with you, I think the whole valley in West Covina City. I just envisioned, this large performing arts center. But that being said, I also said if we weren't going to put it there and if our restrictions were too high, then I thought this corner of Cameron and Fernwood would be great. So I'm just going on the record on that. Just so know that I had floated that idea out there at one point as well.
The other thing, I'm so sorry, thank you, because I, as you can see, I latched onto that. We have that left field behind the football field that there is no modernization going on. And I saw on the spring sports rally, we do have a shot put thrower. We have a few students that do shot put throwing. So what are we going to do with this? Are we going to continue those sports? Are we going to continue those underrepresented sports? And if so, then why didn't we include that in redoing our field? Or are we going to eliminate some sports? I was surprised to see the shot putters.
There's been no talk about eliminating that.
Cool there. That's why they left it like that.
There's been no talk about eliminating it. And
okay.
If
that's what he said.
So that may not be reflected on here, but if things need to be upgraded,
okay.
That would be included.
That's part of being an eyesore, too, from the street. But making sure that those sports have the appropriate facilities that they need.
And Rob, on your bond, that you said you can always take from the B bond and put it in the A bond, correct? If much money as you want, or you have to take that whole 25 million at one time if you want to take money from it.
So the way that the money will come in phase one would be $75 million.
Right.
And then the next phase would be $25
million.
Okay,
you said you could take from that if you wanted to.
Oh, so what we're talking about.
Could you take a certain amount, or you have to take it all at one time?
So the way the funding source works right now, it's estimated that we would receive $25 million in 2023.
Correct.
We could do a funding mechanism which could accelerate that, and we could receive that money earlier.
Could
in
you receive part of that money though?
You could say we want to receive $12 million of it. Yes, you could do part of it. You can accelerate all or any portion of that.
That would be good.
I have a question about the pictures.
Yes.
We're looking at a theater, not a performing arts center, correct?
So we're not looking at.
Those aren't inclusive. Those are all. These are all different sites. So what you see on the right is not the inside of what you see on the left.
Okay. So just so I can have a feeling about the size of what we're looking at, does any of this represent it? Because the Performing Arts Center is, you said it would be like the Taj Mahal, and we're saying a theater.
But in this building, they call it a Performing Arts Center. That's the sign on the building.
Right.
That's not the conceptual, no, no. That's the size of a theater, yes. That is a theater, not a Performing Arts Center.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yes, that is correct. I would say, and Marco, help me here, I would believe that this lower right picture is a Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
And the seating capacity in that lower right is what?
That's probably 600 to 800. And the big difference, too, is audio-visual. Is Performing Arts Centers have really, really enhanced audio-visual systems, lighting, rigs, the whole nine yards, whereas theaters are a little bit more simpler.
Oh, you haven't seen our rallies then. Oh, wow. Then we need to really make it a Performing Arts Center. Les Covina goes big or goes home.
And then
they do.
For the science buildings.
Oh, these are beautiful.
Is that, when I look at this, I have no idea what square foot, you know, what, how much room does that take? Is that about the size of something we're looking at? Or are we looking at something smaller?
Sure. Typically, science labs are in the 1,200 to 1,300 square foot range. It depends on the number of students you're putting within. We're actually looking at redoing all the science labs down in Fullerton Joint Union High School District. And they've got rooms that vary from 1,100 to 1,600 square feet. But the ideal size is probably about 1,250 to 1,300 square feet in the classroom.
And what is the classroom size that we have now?
I'm not sure what the existing numbers are.
Probably 1,400. I don't know if there are science classrooms.
Slightly over standard.
Yeah, probably about 1,100 square feet. 1,200 is pretty standard.
Okay.
1,250 is comfortable.
So the pictures here would look like what our classrooms look like now. I mean,
roughly the same size. Correct.
Right. I'm just thinking of size right now.
Exactly.
Okay. And then how many classrooms? I think you were going to multiply for me. How many classrooms would be in this building then?
That's a great question. And it all goes back to what Dr. Coughlin was saying is there are funds available for CTE. And if we can capture funds for CTE to help build some classrooms, that's great. You know, maybe the magic number 16, and maybe six of those are science labs, and the other are CTE or whatever else is needed. Whatever doesn't go into the science building, we'll renovate those existing classrooms and then convert the other ones that move. So it has yet to be determined, but we'll work through the process.
But all things being equal, traditional size, looking at that picture, how many classrooms are in that building?
That building there, it's probably 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we did the science building down in Centennial High School in Corona, and I believe that had 12 science labs. That is not Centennial.
It's made out of brick.
That one is brick.
It goes with the brick theme. But we've also given you more space because we said we're happy to move the weight room and the the shacks,
idea.
I think they were called. So then that we can make this even larger to incorporate the CTE, make sure the robotics has plenty of space with their program. We have an award-winning robotics program. So
excellent.
And all of our CTE programs. So that gives us more room. We could easily do 16 classrooms.
Absolutely.
Get rid of all our portables.
Right.
So being that this is now we're on the corner here for I'm going to keep calling it a Performing Arts Center. That means we don't have room to build classrooms, so we can't capture any state funding then, because we can't fit classroom around that. We're barely going to have enough room for our Performing Arts Center, right?
There's money for new construction too.
There's money. It doesn't matter where you put it. I mean, if for the science, for the new construction, for science or CTE, there's money available.
I was talking to our Performing Arts. We don't have room for classrooms now.
So I know what you're saying.
Go out.
Okay, we could if we go out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
One of the things is it would just fund those classrooms. It wouldn't fund the whole. It would fund a portion of those classrooms.
Black room, all of the.
So we could put classrooms that would then create that matching ability coming out. Okay,
for
Thank
those
you.
Rooms.
The band room will be connected to it also, right, all together?
That could be something that we'll look at it a design.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, you could all but attach it to the building that it backs up to and convert that into, you know, art classrooms.
It would break the flow.
That building is math, and so
right. All those portables out there. In the
you would have to reconstruct the whole building where the band and choir rooms are, because there's only two or three classrooms on that building versus about 10 on the existing building.
Could I mean it's yes, you could, and again you could leave 8 portables back there if you had to. It's just tough decisions.
I just think we can then add some of the math to the science building. Mm. We'll move them all over math. That's the STEM building. We're going to call it the STEM building, the STEM center. Because we're taking out these shacks. We have a lot of room now. A lot of room. All right. Okay. I liked it. It was very appropriate.
Well,
going with that brick theme.
I shouldn't say this, but Lisa Maggiore did take me into one of those buildings to look at their solar boat. And I walked in. I did look around like, is this thing going to fall? Cause it,
see, solar boat needs
yeah,
space.
It needs modernization
needs
anyway, either yeah, that yeah. or go.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Coghlan, the aquatic center, these are some examples?
Those are some examples of aquatic centers, yes.
Okay. And does that mean since we're going to redo our aquatic center, can we do a fun twisty slide for the kids over the summer?
That may be a
like
risk,
they do in El Monte.
That may be a risk management liability darn. With diving boards. And
so. Right. We're not going to have a high dive added to it.
I think someone drowned. Mm-hmm.
We that's not enough.
All right. Okay.
So in
next
order,
steps.
Next steps. So in order to you know we've gone from the do re mi and to, in order to get out of the mi phase. One of the things is to go out to our school sites and our stakeholders and share with the elementary constituents, secondary constituents, about the plan to make sure that what we are proposing is, you know, we're going to have those discussions with them. Why are they getting this? Why are they getting that? So that we can then come back. And and we're looking to go out next week to the secondary schools, actually, the meeting will be here. Representatives from the secondary schools will come here. We will share this plan with them, get input, and elementary on March 9th. Our plan is to come back with a facility master plan with input from that group and hopefully even bring some of them here so that the board can approve a facility master plan on March 14th. And as Dr. Hinman mentioned at the beginning, it's just it's a roadmap. Any of the projects, any and all projects that will follow after this plan will be approved. The locations, the cost will be approved by and brought to the board for their approval.
And let me add, and I'll use the Science Wings example at West Covina High School. When we come back for our master plan, the question won't be, is the angle of the science room correct? Is the longitude and latitude correct? It'll be, are you agreeing that we're going to be building a science wing at West Covina High School in this master plan? It won't be until we get with the architects and they start actually doing the building, the design of where it exactly will fit and what exactly will be going in it, and those will be discussions down the line. So,
excuse me for interrupting, yeah. But will we know when we're approving it how many classrooms we're
yes.
approving?
Okay.
So,
yes.
I mean, we won't know what angle or anything.
Correct.
We will know how
yes,
many.
We want to put in 12 classrooms here, 24 okay. classrooms here. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in doing so, we should be able to answer how many portables we plan on taking out when those phases are done, too.
All of them. Okay. Any other questions from my colleagues?
We're now going to enter into the question and answer phase of the presentation.
Okay. I do have some things to consider because it applied to everything, and I wanted to go through these, and that is with our elementaries, I know some of the sites you were proposing parking, and some of them did not get proposed parking. But parking is a real issue with some of our schools. We have very little to no visitor parking at some of the schools. And others of them, like West Covina High, has designated that entire front parking lot as visitor parking. So if at all possible, keeping five visitor spots approximately pre-elementary, parents have to come in and out and grab sick kids or pick kids up for doctor's appointments or whatever, and that's always an issue is where. And when I drive by our schools, especially some of our elementaries, I'm seeing them double parked in wrong areas. So since we're giving our input, I wanted to provide that. And with our middle schools, maybe 5 to 10 visitor spots, and obviously our high schools, it looks like West Covina High and Edgewood will have plenty, so 10 to 15 visitor spots. And then thank you for addressing the curb appeal. Some of the trees have gone down, completely gone on some of our campuses because of disease or falling, so making sure if we can to replace some of those trees that are no longer there, and as we're replacing, to make sure they're shade trees. Some of the trees on our park on our campuses go straight up, and parents are waiting for students at the end of school and things like that. And then thank you, Ms. Polos. I love that idea about that look and feel of a real personality for West Covina. But, yeah, the parking is tough. Like at Edgewood, I think they only have 2 or 3 slots in the high school parking lot, so it's a big pain in the butt for any parent to come, and you can't park along that street. So keeping those things in mind that we have sufficient visitor spots for parents coming on campus. So those were my overall to each of these. Okay, any other questions before we close this? All righty. Oh, Ms. Polos, I'm sorry.
I see that the secondary schools are going to have input and the elementary schools are going to have input. And then the master plan is coming before us on March 14th. How is the public going to see it?
They would see it no different than you would come when we advertise at the board meeting when those decisions are being made. Your equity committee is representative of the community, and I will also say that everything that we PR'd, that we committed to, that you committed to in your bond campaign is listed in this document.
There was a lot of, on the people I talked to and the doors I knocked on, they wanted to know where things were going to go. Mm-hmm. And there was some contentious dialogue, and it seemed to have died down some.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people that normally, they don't have children in our district anymore. They live in the neighborhood and they want to know, okay, what's this going to do for my property value? What's going to be happening for my nearby schools? Because that's when they're going to sell their homes. These are older citizens. Mm-hmm. How is it going to affect me? I'm trying to figure out, is it going to be... Are we going to upload it onto the website? You're
right. If you approve the master plan on March 14th, we would go on a PR campaign and we would be expressing what our master plan is.
But that's after we approve it.
Yeah, but we wouldn't. Again, it's totally up to the board, but I really don't want to go out and ask John Public their opinion on where to place particular projects. That really is your charge. That is kind of what you need to do. Again, you'll never reach a consensus, in my opinion, if you do that, because obviously there'll be strong opinion, and I don't blame them, to put the theater at Edgewood. There'll be strong opinion to put it at West Covina, and now you're going to alienate potentially. I think you're better served to allow staff to make the recommendation based on the input of the school sites, the facility modernization plans, and our architects in making that decision. So my recommendation is going to be that on the 15th, we start putting out the information of where those projects are going to go.
I was voted as the community's advocate. So if I'm their voice, I have to have a good feeling of where they want to go with it, because I'm not advocating for them. Yes, they voted for me, but to advocate for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the equity committee is made up of people. Are they going to give us any input? Are they going to give us something, their input before the 14th?
And again, we can go whatever direction the board wants to go, but we're not asking for staff beyond
your district staff, site personnel input. They gave you that input when they did their modernization facility needs report. They told you what they wanted, what they needed, what were the priorities, foremost, secondary. So we have that information. We've delineated that information. We've processed that information, and we've come forward with this report. There's nothing to stop individual board members from going and talking to whomever you want to talk about to about projects and their best interest. I just don't see a, unless you direct us to, go out and do a uniform open dialogue about district projects.
So can we, and you're not asking the equity committee either, then? Is that what you're saying?
The plan with the equity committee is to say this is what the board has preliminarily decided upon. Is this something that you feel is fair and equitable? Not equal, because there's nothing about this plan that's equal, but equitable. And my belief is that it is very equitable, especially with whereas all school sites are getting that baseline, which is the modernization, and also that we will tell the elementary folks in particular, I don't think the high school folks could have any problem at all, but the elementary folks is the whole rationale of this plan is as students matriculate from the elementary to the middle and the high, they will have access to these facilities versus a small group of 400 or 500 kids at an elementary. You'll have thousands of kids will come through and use these larger facilities because when you start spreading out equal, then you're not going to be able to do some of the things we described tonight.
Ms. Poulos, I'm trying to ascertain, is it that you would like community input on where things should go or what we should build?
No, I mean, we have an idea. It's like where it should go, their feelings about where to go mainly. I mean, that was a big concern when I talked to people is where it should go. And it would be nice to know, and the big thing is it fair? And I know you said nothing's going to be equal, but you don't want to look like one school's getting most of it when there's taxpayers throughout our community who are paying for it, and they want to just, and the schools are different. I just want to make sure that
I'm hearing something. You also have to recall that, yes, we've been elected to advocate for the community. The community has entrusted the five of us for as long as we're on the board with this money. With that, when you talk to a community member of Edgewood, they may not necessarily have the knowledge that we as a board member, have that says to me, I want the Performing Arts Center Theater at West Covina High, because although Edgewood has the IB dance program, West Covina High has the bigger band program, the bigger choir programs, still the bigger theater programs. So it makes the most sense based on what our program needs are to put it at West Covina High. And so if I then have a community member come up and say, this is so unfair, my response is, hey, is it a wise use of our money to put a pool at West Covina High when we have an area that we have a pool at now that we can modify our agreement with the city, put the Possibly. Community pool? Well, and if we don't, it's our property. So, I mean, ultimately, if they don't want to negotiate with us, it's our property, and we'll move forward and figure out how we'll make it available to our community. But the pool is going to be an area that our community is familiar with and used to. And so I also have no problem saying to somebody who says, hey, it's not fair, they're getting this nice new performing arts center. Well, these are the reasons why we made that decision as your advocate.
And if you wanted it on a great corner, Merced and Orange gets a lot of traffic. And it's a huge place. If you're looking for a spotlight area right across from the district office.
Yeah.
Woo.
But again, the bigger programs are at West Covina High. You know, when it comes to the science CT building going to West Covina High, again, the bigger program is there. The greater need is there for that program. So I am
completely comfortable with saying to any member of our community, we looked at our facilities needs, we listened to what you said you wanted, and based on what our students need, this is where we think these should go.
That's a good point, and you raise a good point too, Ms. Shumik, Ms. Poulos, that Orange and Merced, but if we do that, then unfortunately the community will lose out on the track.
It sounds like they're going to anyway.
There's no place else to put that track. Well, see, and then that's where we can advocate, because I agree with you. I see the use of that facility. So I too, will advocate for keeping as much available to the public as possible.
And Edgewood is a bigger property.
So
there's more square footage at West Covina than there, I mean, at Edgewood than there is at, so if you're looking at size and trying to put things somewhere.
Yeah, but there's still more students at West Covina.
Yes, there's more room at Edgewood.
Okay. What were you hearing from the community about what they? Do you feel like you have enough talking points to address a community member?
But what I heard is they wanted it Edgewood and they wanted it on the corner of Orange, or as close to the corner as Orange and Merced as possible. They thought that would be a perfect place. There's plenty of parking. It's very visible. We do have programs, and that it could be a community use. So Edgewood and West Covina students could use it, just like we always went over and used their football field. They came over and used our pool. It would be a district performing arts center or a district theater. It's just not for one school.
Well, and I see it as a district performing arts center. And the compromise is, yes, while the performing arts center is going to West Covina High, we're still putting in a multi-purpose room dedicated to the arts for the students at Edgewood to use, and then they can go stage their productions. Just like West Covina High, you know, a swim team is going to have to come over to Edgewood as they, you know, and use that pool to, you know, to have their competitions.
Now, but that is on the third phase for West Covina.
Yeah, now, do you feel, Ms. Dr. Hibman, that if we were to tell a community member that they had an opportunity to voice their suggestions or opinions while the school gave their decisions on what they wanted to see on their campus, so would it be safe to say that each school publicly let parents, community members know, we're going to discuss this issue on such date here at our school to get your input on what we want to do with the bond? Would it be safe to make that assumption, or is there the possibility that some of our schools never went public with this and kind of made the decision amongst staff or admin, whoever might be at that site?
No, I'm going to ask.
And when they said the proposals, they had the theater at both schools. Both of them had wanted that. So there wasn't any delineation where we think it's going to be at. That discussion hadn't happened. But if you go back and look at our studies, it's at both schools. Mm-hmm. Not that they were going to have it at both schools, mm-hmm. but when they did their surveys and they asked, both of them wanted it. They both felt that that's their site was the best site for it. For the district.
But again, that's where our role as board members and understanding our program needs comes in, and our ability to speak on behalf of staff and also understand our community and tell them the reason why staff suggested this facilities master plan and why we approved it.
The communities were told, at least through our channels, that at the end of the day, who's going to make this tough decision? I was asked that question many times. The answer is always the same. At the end of the day, the board will make the decision. And it's tough. It's very difficult to sit in those seats. I totally understand that. But at the end of the day, decision has to be made.
We had a whole discussion about how we could move the football field so it could be on an outstanding corner. We wouldn't have to move anything. Some ugly dirt is all that's on this corner. You say it's an eyesore. Yes, we're gonna do something with it. But
I do appreciate that, and I was very surprised until we got this plan that I think you were jokingly hearing that the Edgewood was going to have a cafetorium or even has a cafetorium now, but they'd actually now get a performing arts multipurpose center that'll seat more than what they currently can seat in their cafeteria. And I feel so excited to go back to tell the community, Edgewood, you're virtually getting both. So I'm really, really pleased that we're going to be able to accomplish that.
And possibly Edgewood's, West Covina is getting both too, but they would be getting the huge theater and they may be getting the pool as well.
I know, but still, I don't.
We've been talking about putting a pool at West Covina High since I was in high school, and it's never happened, and probably never will. We used to have to practice at industry because there was no pool.
I heard about that.
And so, yeah. It's kind of always been a discussion in the community that West Covina High should have a pool. Especially when we were CIF champs and everything else, that, the fact that we had to travel and then, we practiced at an Olympic training facility and then came and had to do our meets at this pool. it's a long time discussion. And so, my answer, I think, to anybody who says, well, West Covina High may get a pool is, yeah, not likely.
Edgewood will never get a football field.
Well, no, Edgewood's getting the new field as part of phase zero.
They would never get a football field.
Yeah.
And they'll never have it, and they'll say, well, now they're not going to have football there anymore.
If it makes you more comfortable, then maybe on Edgewood we put in phase three possible for the art center. Because it's about as likely.
Okay, we are going to go ahead and wrap up this. Do you have everything you need, Dr. Hoagland and Dr. Hinman? Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone. I know, again, tough decisions to make, but exciting time for the board. Okay, Board of Education discussion under information session. My colleagues have any board education discussion? Okay, I had a question, but first, a thank you. I want to thank the board for supporting Dr. Hinman and I to go to the CSBA President's Training. That was excellent, and we'll revisit some of those suggestions at a later meeting. PR for the Dr. Seuss Day, was there PR that went out to all the elementaries? There's been such good attendance at West Covina High ever since. Mm-hmm. We've been promoting it in the elementaries.
I've been asked to do an out call for that for our elementaries, and I'll be doing that. It'll go out either tomorrow or on Thursday.
Good. I know the West Covina High School is really excited about that. Okay, board dates to remember. March 2nd, Read Across America, Orangewood Elementary School at 8:30 a.m. March 4th, Dr. Seuss Day, West Covina High School at 9 a.m. We all got personalized invitations. That's what this is. March 9th, State of the City School District Address at Hearst Ranch. Everyone's welcome to come at 8 a.m. And March 14th is our Board of Education meeting. Okay, there being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of February 28th, 2017 is adjourned at 10:09 p.m. by the President, Eileen Miranda Jimenez. Thank you all.